Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
Today is Tuesday, February 4th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, Democratic Party officials in Iowa worked furiously Tuesday to deliver the delayed results of their first-in-the-nation caucus as frustrated presidential candidates claimed momentum and plowed ahead in their quest for the White House. Technology problems and reporting inconsistencies kept Iowa Democratic Party officials from releasing results from Monday's caucus, the much-hyped kickoff to the 2020 primary. It was an embarrassing twist after months of promoting the contest as a chance for Democrats to find some clarity in the jumbled field with no clear front runner. Instead, caucus day ended with no winner, no official results, and many fresh questions about whether Iowa can retain its coveted first status. State party officials said final results would be released later today, and officials and offered assurance that the problem was not a result of a hack or intrusion.
They do say, though, they still retain their listing as roller coaster capital of the world. So that's cool.
Officials were conducting quality checks and verifying results, prioritizing the integrity of the results, the party said in a statement. Health experts say across the Delaware Valley, there's a shortage of sexual assault nurse examiners who are responsible for administering rape kits. A rape victim says that she ended up at the Philadelphia Sexual Assault Response Center in Hunting Park, where almost all victims of sexual assault in the city are sent. She says she waited for 6 hours before she was seen by a nurse known as SANE. That's the sexual assault nurse examiner. No one was coming to the waiting room to explain what was happening or why it was taking so long. The only reason I stayed was because my friends were with me, the victim says. The response center is designed to be a centralized center for victims. The Philadelphia Police Department Special Victims Unit is right next door. Women's Organized Against Rape is also on site for counseling, but advocates for sex assault victims say the problem is that the SANE nurses are on call, so they're not there. They have to be called in. 6ABC did their own research and called over 200 emergency rooms and followed up with administrative staff to learn about SANE nurse availability. They found that more than 80% either don't have SANE nurses available at all or have them on call. Philadelphia sees roughly 1,000 reported rapes a year. Not one hospital in Philadelphia has a SANE nurse on staff 24/7, except for the two children's hospitals, CHOP and St. Christopher's.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Scary.
Yeah.
You might notice some streetlights in the city have a slightly different glow. Roughly 8,500 streetlights in Philadelphia have been converted to LEDs in recent years. But the city is looking to pick up the pace. LEDs generate more light with less power. Philadelphia is now looking for vendors to replace the remaining 100,000-plus high-pressure sodium lights over the next several years. The city spends roughly $15 million a year on streetlights. With LEDs, the city could save $5 to $6 million annually.
How extensive is this so far? Because I have noticed areas where it seems to be
a little different.
Much more brilliantly lit up.
8,500 streetlights.
Okay.
There's still 100,000 more to go.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's a decent amount.
It's decent enough, yeah.
I got a question. Are streetlights, are they turned on by a timer or are they turned on by...
Usually it's a light sensor.
Like a sensor.
Light sensor.
It's a sensor? Okay.
We used to shut them off as kids. You do that, Preston, where you take like a high-powered flashlight, yeah, shine it at the top of the light and it would shut off. Yeah.
Or we'd shoot it with a BB gun.
Shoot it with a BB gun, yeah.
That's right.
Things like that. You're trying to help the community.
You know.
Yeah. It was your own 4F program.
Trying to help the city.
God, I got in so much trouble for doing that.
We were stealing emergency hazard lights, turning off street lights, throwing rocks at cars, things like that. Things that help the community become better.
Cinder blocks off a bridge.
Exactly, yeah. But arson, taking out whole stretches of fence.
Stuff like that.
Oh, my God.
City officials say it's becoming harder and harder to find affordable replacement parts for the old fixtures because their suppliers are switching to LEDs. The city is also looking for a new system to manage streetlights, which could customize lighting in neighborhoods. So here you go, Case. In high-crime areas, it could be flooded with lights. In residential areas, they could be dimmed if preferred. There have been concerns raised over the safety of LEDs. The city is consulting medical professionals about those concerns.
Why don't you make them all clappers so that people can...
Anybody who wants to turn them on or off can use the clapper.
Right. That wouldn't lead to neighborhood fights.
No, yeah. Not at all.
But anyhow, you know, like if someone was up to, if they were going to, say, rob her, if they were planning on doing something, you would clearly hear right before they were going to do
that. Run!
So.
Oh, my God. City officials will also seek feedback from the public down the line as they tailor their plans to different neighborhoods.
Do you guys, when you're parking in a parking lot, will you, because I purposely will park underneath a light if I can, or as close to a light as I possibly can.
If you're like, if you're in the city or just anywhere?
Kind of anywhere, really.
Yeah, keep a car from getting broken into.
Yeah.
I never really consider that, but that's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
You know?
All right, let's do sports this morning. The Sixers lost again on the road, falling to the Heat last night in Miami. Jimmy Butler scored a season-high 38 points against his former team before getting the fourth quarter off, and the Miami Heat scored a franchise record 81 points in the second half for 137-106 win.
I honestly could have told anybody that this was going to happen.
Really?
The Sixers are terrible on the road. For some reason, they don't know how to check themselves when they're out on the road. But then B, they were in Miami the night of the Super Bowl.
That's true.
Oh.
They need to check themselves before they wreck themselves?
Before they wreck themselves, Steve. Oh.
And indeed, they did wreck themselves.
Yeah. They did. So that holds true.
The Sixers, who have an NBA best 22-2 record at home, lost for the 10th time in their last 12 road games. Joel Embiid led the team with 29 points and 12 rebounds, and Mike Scott added 17. They're on the road again Thursday night, and they'll travel to Milwaukee to play the best team in the NBA, the Bucks. The Flyers beat the Red Wings last night in Detroit. Brian Elliott made 16 saves, and the Flyers put the game out of reach with two third-period shorthanded goals in a 3-0 win. Scott Laughton got the Flyers on the board, 9:31 into the second period. Kevin Hayes scored a shorthanded goal in the third, and Matt Niskanen finished things off with an empty net shorthanded goal. The Flyers are now off until Thursday, when they'll return home to host the New Jersey Devils. And that's what I have for you this morning.
Thank you very much, Kathy. Good morning. Welcome Tuesday, Preston and Steve show. We have a stack of things that we have to get to today. That's always nice. And you have a plan. We
yes.
have stuff ready for you. So we are all set to go for a Tattoos Day. If you've been interested in getting a Preston and Steve tattoo, joining the legions of people who have ink with our show name on them.
You say legions, and you think about that exactly. Take a guess. How many people are walking around Preston and Steve tattoos?
There's hundreds.
Hundreds?
Yeah, yeah. So you can join the ranks. All you have to do is text the word tattoo to 39333, and you just might win, because we'll randomly draw someone to be our victor and get a $350 gift certificate for world-famous Philadelphia Eddie's Tattoo. If you'd like to see some work, you never know. You might end up getting tattooed by some of the top artists like Emil DZ. You can see his work on Instagram at emil.dz.tattoo or philadelphiaeddiestattoo.com. So we have that. We also have, we're doing this again with Dr. Oz. It's a watch, listen, and win. If you watched Dr. Oz yesterday on Fox 29 at 2:00, going to have a question about that show. We have a $500 Amex gift card to give away. And then we'll get you set up for tomorrow, the next Amex. We're doing this for a couple weeks. It's pretty easy.
Yeah, the Dr. Oz show, is, as you we talk about it, it's not just medical stuff. It's crime investigation, all these different things going on. It's actually different than I thought it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll do that around 9:30. We also have a couple of guests on the program from The Biggest Loser, Season 18. Bob Harper is going to be on. He's a trainer who had a heart attack a couple of years ago.
Yeah. Preston, he was doing everything right. Exercising, the diet, the whole deal, and had, I think it was a Widowmaker.
He was just predisposed.
Yeah.
So we'll talk to Bob, see what his what's up in his world. That'll be around 9 o'clock or so. We also have a comedian, David James. It'll be his first time in the studio, I think.
Yes,
right?
Sir.
Helium Comedy Club, and he's recording a new comedy album, so he's going to stop in today. And we have a concert announcement to reveal as well. So we'll get to that at some point during the show. All this with the looming Cardboard Classic, which is coming up now a month and 2 days away. A month and 2 days away from Cardboard Classic.
We've seen some very impressive stuff.
Yeah, so far.
And I floated out the notion of some sort of Annabelle theme. I don't know if that will be delivered, but I'm hoping.
It'd be nice, wouldn't it? There are some new categories and new prizes. You can check WMMR.com for the details. But don't forget, there are lift tickets available. $10 lift tickets available through Sunday. The 23rd. Yeah. Okay, and then the price goes up to $20. So you want to get those
now.
$10 for a lift ticket, man.
Come on!
Sweet deal. Deals at details at WMMR.com. So We have these things and more through the course of the morning. We hope you're going to stay with us today, and we'll take a break, come back in just a moment. We'll have a stupid question and some entertainment stories to run by you when we get back. Stay there.
Like what you hear? You can see it, too. Check out Preston and Steve's Daily Rush at PrestonandSteve.com.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Before we do the stupid question, we have a super-duper early morning shout-out.
Yes, indeed.
Nick McElwain wants to pass some information along.
Good to go. I told you guys a week or two ago that my windshield got cracked, and I wanted to thank Jeff and Brian from Autoglass Interstellar. They left a business card in my car. They replaced the windshield. They did a great job, and they asked if we could do a shout-out because they listen to the show every morning, and they asked for a bit in between 6:30 and 7 a.m. So, guys, we actually were able to do it. Jeff and Brian, wow. This is for you.
There you go.
Thanks, guys.
Shards of plenty. All right, so stupid question this morning. We are going to give away a 4-pack of tickets for the Philly Home and Garden Show, which is going to be on Valentine's Day, the 14th through the 16th, at the Greater Philadelphia Expo Center at Oaks. So I'm going to do a Valentine's Day, in celebration of Valentine's Day, a romance question.
Ah.
And I did not know this. Which English poet wrote the sonnet that includes the famous line, "How do I love thee? Let me count the ways."
All right.
Okay, so which English poet wrote that? 215-263-WMMR. How do I love thee? Let me count the ways. So I'll mention some birthdays while we are awaiting your answer. Today is Tuesday. It is the 4th of February. From the band The Offspring, Noodles celebrates his birthday. Plays guitar. His real name is Kevin Wasserman. And he's 57, and I never have heard the origin of that nickname.
Of Noodles, yeah. I wonder that myself.
Noodles comes from.
Well, I mean, isn't like a guitar
noodling?
Noodling?
Is it possible?
Maybe. Yeah. Pierre was the first person I ever heard really use that term.
Okay.
Yeah, have you heard Noodles?
Well, I know his mother's name is Ramen.
Ramen.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. Or maybe so stupid that he ate ramen all the time.
It's possible.
They call them noodles, I mean, so.
Now we need a definitive answer.
All right, we'll try and locate that bit of info for you. He is 57 years old today. This is a good song.
Yeah.
We also have Alice Cooper, the great shock rocker, 72. We were just off air. I was watching a video on YouTube about the B-52s, and I was saying that the first time I ever saw them was on Saturday Night Live, and I remember as a kid going, "What the hell is this?" Same thing with Alice Cooper. What the F is this?
What is that guy?
Yeah.
And there are two great documentaries. One is called Supermensch, about Alice Cooper's agent and manager, and one specifically about Alice Cooper himself and the construct of that Alice Cooper character that launched him into success. It was an orchestrated attempt to give parents something to say, "I don't want you listening to that."
But Steve, you remember the days of the Midnight Special and on where we would see guys like Alice Cooper on TV.
What
and
is
go,
that?
What is that? Son, don't look.
Don't.
Avert your eyes. So Alice Cooper is 72 today. And by the way, Nick just looked this up. Casey, you are correct. Noodles from noodling on the guitar.
Hey,
he got his name. So
the ramen thing has nothing to do with it.
Nothing to do with it. lovely actress Gabrielle Anwar.
Yes.
I remember the first time I saw her was in Scent of a Woman. She's in the scene where they tango in the restaurant.
She's lovely.
A lovely girl. Burn Notice is a show that she's on. She was also in The Three Musketeers. She is 50 years old today. Dan Quayle, former vice president.
What's Fultz's
name? Wow.
Potatoes.
Nice. Well done, Case.
The great potatoes.
It was in a spelling bee, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
The word to be spelled was potato. And a kid wrote P-O-T-A-T-O, and he goes, and I remember it, he goes, "Nope, go back over there and put an E on the end of it." That is not how you spell potato. And he was absolutely vilified by that. He is 73 years old today. Natalie Imbruglia, the singer and actress. Torn was her one big
super hit.
It was kind of, it was adult contemporary. It was a little alternative. It got a lot of airplay. She was,
attractive. I think she comes from...
thin girl with big eyes.
Right.
Yeah, she was from soap opera.
Yeah, soap operas, right.
In Australia. And she was married to Daniel Johns, who was front man of Silverchair, and they were a big hit at that time as well. But this song still gets played today.
It's a staple. You know? Yeah. Adult contemporary.
She is 45 years old today. Lawrence Taylor, LT. Hall of Famer.
He was at the Super Bowl on Sunday. They did the 100 greatest players of all time.
Yeah.
Also, we didn't mention this yesterday, but listed but not in attendance on Sunday, O.J. Simpson.
That's right.
They listed him in the 100 greatest players of all time.
And they have to.
His record stands.
Yeah.
You know?
He was actually at a murderer's Hall of Fame. Accepting
a Hall of Fame.
His agent booked him incorrectly.
Oh. Hey, you know what? Give him credit because he honors his commitment.
He does, man. Right. You know, I love watch. It's some sort of bizarre world we live in. I watch his posts about football critiques on Twitter, Preston. It's, you know,
OJ,
and he thinks, oh yes, he thinks no one remembers what went down.
You know what?
I gotta tell you, I'm liking the Chiefs.
He gets none of my time. And I see it all. You know, he posts about stuff all
and
the
he
time.
Comments knowing you're not listening or watching.
By the way, LT, who's 61 today, by the way, the only reason I became a fan of his is because, and I've said this, I say it every year at his birthday, if you used him on Super Bowl, on Tecmo Super Bowl,
was it a given?
If you were the Giants, you just shut down any team you were playing.
Jesus.
He was the player. It was like he moved so much faster than anybody else on the field. It was ridiculous. I would always play the Giants.
When you play that sound effect, it's like a time machine.
Oh, my God. I used to love that game. God. So he is 61 today. Oscar De La Hoya, the Golden Boy, is celebrating his 47th birthday today. He, along with Sugar Ray Leonard, probably the most good-looking
boxer of all time,
or one of them, yeah. But he was a real deal. Dude could fight. 47 years old today. He's made a ton of money in boxing promoting. Actress Julia Ormond from movies like The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, Legends of the Fall, and so on. She is 55. And actor Rob Corddry, who's been here before.
Yeah, he's great.
Yep, Daily Show, Hot Tub Time Machine, Ballers. he is 49.
Did you ever see Hot Tub Time Machine 2?
No. I never even saw the first one.
So I've asked him, and I forget what the answer was. There was an incredible picture they had of him. He becomes super wealthy because, you know, they now know what's going to happen throughout history.
What does he invent? It's not Google, but it's something.
Something like it. Because he knows. And so there's a huge, you remember this huge painting of him riding a tiger?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's just, who would not want that?
Uh-huh.
Both of those movies are just ridiculously funny.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not great movies, but they're
garbage
funny
movies. Yeah. Funny, but especially, I love the fact that Craig Robinson, he knows all the hits that are going to be coming out, Preston, so he pre-steals them, and so he's the one who's, he's the one writing all these songs.
That's awesome. Rob Corddry is 49 today. Those are the birthdays. Let's see if we can get an answer to this question. In celebration of Valentine's Day, which English poet wrote the sonnet that includes the famous line, "How do I love thee? Let me count the ways." I'm going to go to Chris for the answer. Hi, Chris. Good morning.
Good morning. You guys rock.
Thanks, man. All right, Chris, who was the poet who wrote "How Do I Love Thee? Let Me Count the Ways"?
Elizabeth Barrett Browning.
That is correct. Yeah. Browning, yes. One moment, Chris. For you, sir, we have a 4-pack of tickets to the Philly Home and Garden Show February 14th through the 16th at their Greater Philadelphia Expo Center at Oaks. For more information and discount tickets, you can go to PhillyHomeAndGardenShow.com. So we're going to start with Harvey because that's, you know, the big story.
Big slob.
And it gets even grosser today.
What? I don't know how much of this I can take.
I will save you some of the really disgusting details, but there's one you've got to hear today, okay?
All right.
So his legal team cross-examined one of his accusers, Jessica Mann, in court on Monday, accusing her of lying to Weinstein. Attorney Donna Rotunno quoted her testimony from last week in which she detailed her revulsion at his appearance and hygiene as well. Apparently he smelled really bad, she had said. Rotunno asked, Had you met someone who looked like Mr. Weinstein who did not have his success or power, you would never have agreed to meet him. Adding that if she lied to him and used him to gain access to connections in the industry. She said, your entire relationship with Mr. Weinstein, you lied to him every single time you made him believe you wanted to be there. And Mann answered, for my safety, yeah. Rotuno asked Mann, when your mother was in town, you wanted to introduce her to him, correct? She said, my mother was pressuring me really hard to meet him, and I didn't want her to meet him because I didn't want to involve her in my life. My mom made me feel like she was being judgmental, and I wanted to get her off my back. Mann also testified that Weinstein asked her if she'd ever had a golden shower before.
Oh, my God. Dear God. Mm-hmm. Dear God.
The 34-year-old said it happened while they were in...
I have a lot of piss in me.
It happened while they were in the shower. At least it happened in the shower.
Well, there's a step in the right direction, but anything. I mean, you lost me at the personal smell, the hygiene. Mm-hmm.
It was when they were in an L.A. hotel. She said, I was in shock. I was in shock by it. It was gross. I turned into the corner of the shower and just looked away. She said this while she was choking up. So later, Mann said that she engaged with my abuser because of what I believed in my mind and the perception of the society I lived in. It was always in my best interest to feel that the temperature gauge between us was going to be okay. Weinstein faces up to life in prison if he's convicted. So this obviously continues, but more bizarre and disgusting.
It's a weird thing
coming up.
There are the other people have come up. They're the witnesses who have been just flat out raped, or that allegedly. Obviously.
Well, she has been too.
Right,
I just kind of
right.
didn't go into all the full details of that, but that was one of the things that he did on top of, sexually assaulting her, raping her. Yeah. Moving on, a huge memorial to Kobe Bryant created by fans outside the Staples Center, made up of flowers, balloons, jerseys, stuffed toys, basketballs, and more. Many with personal messages were being removed yesterday, with officials saying some of the items will go to Bryant's widow, Vanessa, and other family members. Vanessa Bryant had requested items which were to be cataloged and shipped to the family, and fans were being urged to donate to a Bryant Foundation instead of bringing anything more to the Staples Center.
I saw. I'm sure you guys all saw the memorial out front of Lower Merion High School.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
All right. So I'm looking at this, and I can't help but feel like I'm like, why isn't anybody like taking that stuff? I mean, there were like nice basketballs, nice sneakers, like Kobe Bryant sneakers. I wouldn't take anything, but...
Well, you hope there's some honor.
Yeah.
People wouldn't do something like that.
Who knows? They haven't been.
Yeah, but there's no honor in $150 sneakers.
I don't know. You would hope, as Preston says, that people would just leave those things there in tribute. But you don't know if stuff was left there and taken.
Yeah, I haven't heard any word of people stealing stuff.
Yeah,
so they
don't
mean they haven't, but I'd
that was my first thought.
Rather focus on the fact that people are leaving that stuff. So.
I, if you're going to do that stuff, do it the right way. You go to a cemetery.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
There's usually no security.
Yeah,
or
you just
like
wander
that.
Around and say you're visiting a deceased relative.
Meanwhile, the Lakers, LeBron James, one of the two team captains in the February 16th NBA All-Star Game, said that his team will wear number 2 jerseys in honor of Bryant's 13-year-old daughter, Gianna. Of course, she died in the helicopter crash, but she wore the number 2 when she played basketball. So
that's nice.
That's nice. The team of the other captain of the captain of the other team, Gianna. How do you say his last name, Casey?
I can't do it.
Adam Kunumpo.
No,
anyway, just call him Giannis.
All right, Giannis.
Yeah,
will wear number 24 in tribute now. We broke this story late in the show yesterday, but I think this qualifies for entertainment news.
Absolutely.
Okay. Breaking news. Breaking news.
Gritty has been cleared of all allegations.
Yes!
That he punched a 13-year-old fan in the back after a photo shoot, police said yesterday. Greenwell had alleged that after he and son Brandon met Gritty at an event and posed for a photo, Brandon patted Gritty on the head and they left. But as the boy walked away, Gritty ran after him and, quote, punched my son as hard as he could.
It's just, you know, Gritty's sort of a bull in a china shop. That's his way.
I know. But police said yesterday their investigation found that, quote, the actions of the individual portraying the Flyers mascot did not constitute physical assault as alleged.
And I'll bet you there was video running on it. But you did see Gritty was trying to play up to everyone. He was using a walker yesterday.
Was he?
Yeah.
Just
for sympathy.
Wow.
Yeah.
The Flyers had said they'd conducted their own internal investigation, also found no wrongdoing by the person inside the mascot. So,
no, there's nobody in there.
But they officially, they've officially dropped the charges. So
yes,
he's,
good.
He's clear. He's been clear.
Go on and entertain people.
Another Philly guy besides Gritty, Bradley Cooper.
Yes, our dear personal friend.
And Irina Shayk were spotted together at the 2020 BAFTA Ooh. Awards after party Sunday, 7 months after the pair split.
Are we thinking this might be a rekindling? Was there canoodling? Or
there, what are, what no, there was no, canoodling. But
tallywhacking?
They were together for 4 years,
huh.
And she shares Leah Desane, who's 2 years old, by the way. They share the child. They split amid rumors that all was not well between the pair and speculation that he became too close with his co-star Lady Gaga.
Well, I don't believe that.
The Star is Born, I don't believe it.
Just don't believe it.
British Vogue shared a picture of them smiling with editor Edward Enenfil at the fashion and film party.
It's so great to be here with you, Sue.
Shake was co-hosting the shindig with Enenfil, Charlize Theron, and Riz Ahmed.
Listen to these names.
So people are wondering if they're getting back together. She recently did speak very highly of her romance with Cooper in Vogue, saying, "I think we've been very lucky to experience what we had with each other. Life without B is new ground."
BS?
No, B as in Bradley Cooper. That's her.
Of course, I thought she was doing
it. Got a little nickname. What's up, B?
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Ashton Kutcher and Demi Moore were married for 6 years before parting ways in 2011, despite the time that has passed. And the fact that Kutcher is now married to Mila Kunis, with whom he shares 2 children, their relationship is making headlines. Fans have been buzzing about the pair since Moore's memoir, Inside Out, was released a few months ago. And she detailed the ups and downs of their relationship, including a miscarriage and his alleged infidelity.
Yeah.
He hasn't really said anything as of yet, but...
No.
He spoke up recently in an interview saying that while he and Moore don't hang out, he does make a really conscious effort to stay in touch with the girls. And, of course, that he means Moore's daughters with ex-Bruce Willis, who are Rumor, Scout, and Tallulah Willis.
Does he slide into their DMs?
He doesn't say that.
But it's assumed.
But the 41-year-old continued saying, "I was helping raise teenage girls through their adolescence. I love them, and I'm never going to stop loving them, right? And respecting them and honoring them and rooting for them to be successful in whatever they're pursuing."
It's weird because Rumor Willis admitted that she had posters of Ashton Kutcher in her room.
Yeah.
And then mommy goes and marries him.
That must have been awkward.
It would have been like me, Preston, if my mother had married Rob Lowe because I had posters in
all
my
over.
Room.
Mm-hmm. And that would have been awkward.
That would have been so awkward.
All right, so we have not had a Kardashian story in over a week.
We're due for one.
Due.
To be honest,
we're
going through withdrawals.
So we'll go with the fact that Kim and Kanye have shared glimpses of their sprawling home on social media, but they decided to open the doors to curious fans completely via Architectural Digest.
Wow, man.
And yes, it's as vast, epic, idiosyncratic, and white as you suspect it.
It's too white.
Yeah, it's very...
How do you possibly eat cheese balls in that house?
Right, right. They also shared their observations and thoughts about designing their space for the magazine.
Yeah.
Architectural Digest really does... when they go to a celebrity's home, it's pretty cool.
No, they do a great job.
Yeah.
You know, they did Brad Pitt years ago, and that, you know, that stoked Brad Pitt's interest in architecture.
I remember they did John Travolta, you know, with the plane that you can pull up.
Freaking awesome.
Wild house, yeah. So in a cover story devoted to their $60 million home, Kim recalls her first sight of the home in 2013. She said, "We passed by this incredibly extravagant house while strolling through the neighborhood. I just had North, and we were doing a lot of walking so I could work off some of the baby fat. I didn't really know Kanye's style at that point, but I thought the house was perfection."
Incredible. Incredible.
Kanye was less enthusiastic. He said, quote, "It's workable."
It's workable.
But she says that lukewarm reception signaled to her that he was actually pretty into it.
Kanye, this would make an amazing movie.
Kanye, meanwhile, describes the renovated home as futuristic Belgian monastery.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
The pair worked with architect Axel Vervoort to remodel the home and decorated exclusively in shades of white, brown, and gray.
So a quick question here, Kathy. Up on the screen here is a picture of the house. That, to me,
That looks way too antiseptic.
Yeah, I mean, it does look, excuse me, a little bit like...
Even for you, Kath?
Yeah.
I mean, listen, there's not really much to it. I know somebody who sort of lives like this.
It's minimalist, they call it, you know.
Well, and even in decoration, it's all very similar. It's all white.
Yeah. Okay.
There's a video of her and Kanye sitting there, and then I guess North comes into the video, and she puts a stool down in front of him. There's three legs on the stool.
Three legs.
Yeah.
Just like Bill Weston ordered.
It's a dream house for Bill Weston.
The pair worked with architect, like I said, Axel Vertevoort, and he said Kim and Kanye wanted something totally new.
Oh.
We didn't talk about decoration, but a kind of philosophy about how we live now and how we will live in the future.
Wow, I've never wanted to be dead more than my life.
We changed the house by purifying it.
What'd they do to purify it?
And we kept pushing to make it purer and purer.
Yeah, it's pretty pure.
I don't know. So now there are four kids, North, Saint, Chicago, and Psalm, who are 6.5, 4, 2, and 8 months respectively, live there with them, and they say the house was designed with them in mind.
But to understand, there's vast amounts of nothing.
Kanye said the kids ride their scooters down the hallways and jump around on top of the low axle tables. Which they use as a kind of stage. This house may be a case study, but our vision for it was built around our family. He said, everything we do is an art installation and a playroom.
This is amazing.
So I saw another little tidbit from this article that Kim has never used their pool one time.
Yeah,
crazy,
I don't doubt it.
Man.
Yeah.
Like, how could you? It's right there.
You have a goddamn pool right
there.
It's
a pool.
Yeah.
Dip your toes or something. Did you see a picture of the pool? Is it all white as well?
No, it's blue.
No. I thought they put like white paint in the.
They dyed it white. Yeah.
Well, white paint will actually cause it to have that bluish hue.
No, I'm instead of water, white paint.
Oh, just white paint. Filled it with white paint.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's why she doesn't go
with
in.
Milk?
Yeah.
So anyhow, if you want more, Architectural Digest is where you want to go to get the information on their house. Mila Jovovich has welcomed a baby girl with her husband, Paul W.S. Anderson, in a sweet shot. Jovovich's eldest daughter, Ever Gabo.
Ever Gabo?
I guess that's how you say her last name.
Gabo?
G-A-B-O. Wow. Gabo? Gabo? Gabo?
You are so Gabo.
Introduced a newborn in a picture with Paul, Mila, Dashiell Eden Anderson and baby Ozian.
Okay, they got some rockin' names there.
O-S-I-A-N, Ozian.
He's the guy who directed those Resident Evil movies that she's in, Preston.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Jenna Dewan.
Yes, gorgeous. Oh. Star flirty dancing, Preston.
Ex of Channing. Her Netflix series soundtrack has been canceled after one season.
Oh, is she a singer?
No, she was a dancer. Jinx, oh my God! Stop.
On the 10-episode series, Dewan played a struggling dancer.
Oh, okay.
Turned social worker. She is at work on.
I'm gonna tap my way into your heart.
She is now at work on the upcoming reality series, Flirty Dancing, which you were saying, Steve, which is going to be on Fox.
Yeah, there we go.
What's the conceit of that again?
People who have never met, they meet for the first time, they don't talk, and they dance a duet together, and then they walk away, and then they assess how they felt, what kind of chemistry they felt during the dance process.
And then does anything happen after that?
Yes, then they start going out on. So they build up. You know, they have the person who did the dance waiting there at a table at some sort of cafe, and you don't know who's going to show up, and the person who shows up is the person they selected of the two they dance with.
Yeah. This is absolutely moronic.
Incredibly moronic.
And it will probably be a huge hit because of that.
Guaranteeing.
Mm-hmm.
Remember The Masked Singer?
It's a hit.
Yeah.
Stupid. All right, so Lin-Manuel Miranda is bringing his hit Broadway musical Hamilton to the big screen.
This is cool.
Yeah, because now I don't have to try and buy tickets.
I know.
And I could just wait for the movie to come out.
And it's the original cast, right?
Yeah, it's the original cast, and my seat will be big enough.
It's the original Broadway cast. Disney presents Hamilton. He wrote alongside all major details on Twitter. With the original Broadway cast filmed on stage at the Richard Rogers Theater in a theater near you. So it's not, you know, like how Rent, they made a movie out of
Rent.
Yes, right. This is the stage show filmed.
Boom.
On stage.
Yes.
So that's pretty damn cool. I like it.
They were going to do a movie, and they were going to use Drew Carey, and everyone complained about that.
Wow.
Bad bad casting.
October 15, 2021.
Huh, there you go.
And the play had snagged, by the way, 16 Tony nominations and won 11. That's massive.
I remember that Tony Awards when it was just dominating.
Yeah.
Book of Mormon only. I remember Book of Mormon, too, having that same sort of just exploded.
Yeah. Gilmore Girls creator Amy Sherman-Palladino tells E.T. that she may return to Stars Hollow despite those infamous four final words in the 2016 reboot of the show.
Are you going to return for the reboot?
By the way, what were the four famous words in the 2016 reboot that ended the show?
Suck my big...
Wow.
D.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know. Anybody know?
What show?
I have no idea.
It's thank you, E.T. Gilmore Girls, it says, despite those infamous four final words in the 2016 reboot of the show.
Right.
I don't know.
You were a Gilmore Girl fan in the original run, but you didn't pick it up for the continuation.
The reboot, there was no way.
You'd grown too much as a young lady.
So it starred Lauren Graham, Alexis Bledel, and Kelly Bishop on Netflix. What?
Is it like something like I Don't Love You? She's going to get pregnant.
She's going to get pregnant, are the words?
Yeah, okay. So the exchange started with she's going to get pregnant, and then this is how it ended.
It's Mom, yeah, I'm pregnant.
Okay.
That's it.
So what? So what?
Yeah. So Mom, yeah, I'm pregnant.
You're pregnant? Yads Bodkins! This is a catastrophe!
It was very dramatic.
Yeah. Yes.
Very dramatic. All right. So according to creator Amy Sherman-Palladino, she said, you know, it's the kind of thing where we hadn't planned on doing the Netflix movies. Never say never.
Right.
She said it would just have to be the right time for everybody because it was in 2016. She said it was like the moment where Lauren's like, and Alexis is like, and Kelly's like, I'm not done yet. So we all just did it. There you go.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly.
What other show does Amy Sherman-Palladino?
This is Nasal.
That's it.
Wow. Okay.
Yes.
Well, that's a great show.
Right.
So she created that or directs it? No kidding. All right. Well, that's a good one. Maybe I am a Gilmore guy.
Maybe.
I didn't even know it.
No idea. Now you need to go back. Yeah.
YouTube ranked the most viewed Super Bowl spots on Sunday. Amazon, Facebook, and Jeep emerged victorious with viewership of the ads on YouTube, rising 30% year over year. So I guess these are the spots that were on YouTube that you could access that were on the Super Bowl. That's what I'm guessing. In addition to ad views, Google released search trends linked to the Super Bowl. Unsurprisingly, seeing as the halftime show featured Jennifer Lopez and Shakira, Google saw a 3,500% spike in Shakira lyrics.
Of course.
And a 2,450% jump in J-Lo Tour 2020 searches.
What commercial was the most popular or the most searched? Did they provide that information?
It just says Amazon, Facebook, and Jeep emerged victorious with viewership of Super Bowl ads on YouTube.
Huh.
So, yeah, I don't really know. And the Jeep one was the Bill Murray one.
Bill Murray, yeah.
Yeah. By the way, viewership was... I didn't know this, but it was sharply down the last couple of years.
On the Super Bowl in general?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but this year it was up just a slight tick.
Hmm.
So
you never know why.
Yeah, I don't know why.
It's always a moneymaker, that's for sure, though.
But it was right around 100 million. It had topped out at over 115 million at one point, or 114 million.
Imagine that.
No.
I mean, that size audience?
No. And then one last story, Top Gear got new hosts, and now the car show is moving from BBC 2 to BBC 1 after 18 years.
Tonight on BBC 1, yes. Top Gear.
Yeah.
It used to be on BBC 2 and wasn't on BBC 3 and 4, but now it's on BBC 1.
Yeah, from 18 years it was
coming
on BBC
Friday, 2. BBC 5.
And now on BBC 1. Andrew Flintoff, Chris Harris, and Paddy McGuinness. First season grabbed 3.8 million viewers last year, up 1.5 million from Matt LeBlanc's season on Top Gear. So.
I love the show.
Yeah.
I don't watch. I'll jump in and watch three or four episodes. I don't watch it, you know.
Yeah, neither do I.
On a regular basis.
Yeah, it's one of those, if it kind of catches my eye at that time, I'll spend some time with it, and it's always good.
I love when they do, like, the movie stuff, when they take the cars and say, could this do this, or could this car react this way? And they did a whole couple of episodes on the James Bond cars. It was awesome.
Nice. All right, we're ready for clips. So, Black-ish star, Marseille Martin?
Sure.
Has been playing Diane, the youngest of the Johnson family, since she was 10 years old. Six seasons later, she talks about growing up on screen with her character. Here we go.
She's in the space of a teenager. She's always been her true self, which I love, and I can express myself in her. So whatever she's thinking about or whatever she's feeling, it's coming out of my head. And, I mean, it's always amazing and always something new, too, that I can play with.
Shut the f-
All right, so
she's actually really a good actress for her age.
Oh, you know what? Okay, I didn't see the whole movie, but there's a movie called Little that she's in, and
she grows. It's basically like Big, is it not?
Yes, it's got that similar
similar conceit
thing. But I remember seeing her and going, "Wow, okay, she's a talented little actress." New episode of Black-ish returns next Tuesday, 9:30 on ABC. Here's the next clip. FBI Most Wanted follows the crime division of the FBI tracking down and capturing the nation's most notorious criminals. In this clip, star Julianne McMahon talks about the experts coming to the set to ensure realism. Here we go.
When we started on the show, we did a whole bunch of stuff with FBI guys in regards to tactical stuff and approaching buildings and coming out of cars. And, you know, it could get quite clunky at some point in time, so it's really good to get some kind of direction in that area.
New episodes of FBI Most Wanted return next Tuesday at 10 on CBS. Steve and I, over the weekend, had both seen Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and I'd forgotten, Steve. It's funny because it's referenced several times in the movie. Like, want to come over and watch the FBI?
Yeah.
Remember the show, The FBI?
I used to love that show. Taken from the case files of FBI.
Yeah.
It was that stuff was, and that was considered, you know, pretty graphic for the time.
Mm-hmm.
Love that show. It was Sunday nights.
And you know, it just the crime procedurals have just been a mainstay in television.
Have never gone out of favor.
Never.
Yeah.
In fact, they've increased in popularity, I would think, over the years. So, next Tuesday, 10 o'clock on CBS. All right, and there you go. That's the entertainment report for this morning. We have several things going on today. Chance for winning $500 if you watched Dr. Oz yesterday. We'll do that around 9:30. I have a question about yesterday's show. We also have a concert announcement coming up. A couple of guests as well. Bob Harper from The Biggest Loser on the program. David James, a comedian, is going to be at the Helium Comedy Club, is stopping by as well. And I got some movie screening passes for Sonic the Hedgehog. We have a screening, which is this weekend. It's Saturday at 10 a.m. at the Regal UA Riverview. That's on Columbus Boulevard. And we'll take five callers, and we'll set you up with the movie passes. 215-263-WMMR. It opens nationwide February 14th, rated PG. If you'd like to go to the movie on Saturday at 10 a.m., give us a call right now. We'll see if you can get through. We'll be back in a moment.
Here we go.
Here comes the MM Army.
What's going on?
Join Marissa Magnata tomorrow from 6 to 8 at the Irish Pub on 20th and Walnut in downtown Philly. Marissa will guest bartend to help raise funds for the American Lung Association's Fight for Air Climb and Team WMMR.
93.3 WMMR. Everything and everywhere that rocks.
So wild how random things, you know, will pop up in your head. I was just thinking about what a fool I am, what a fool I was as a kid. Because in like preschool and kindergarten,
yes,
I would always refuse to take naps. You know, how they would have nap time.
Yeah.
And now I pray for nap time.
Right.
Do you?
In my adulthood. I could use a nap right now.
Well, God bless you for that.
That's so funny.
My wife's naps are longer than my night's sleep.
Night sleep?
She takes long ones?
I admire her because she knows how to do it. She's, I'm going to go do this. And she comes back and she's refreshed. And it's exactly what a nap is supposed to do. I can't do it. I do. Dr. Rosenpenis gave me this little meditation, Dr. Rosenberg, for, you know, 20 minutes. And I listen to it. And I kind of go into a state. But
you know when you're asleep, you know, when you're getting a nap, a rejuvenation, mm-hmm. and it's a difference.
I love the 20-minute naps that we've talked about before, yeah. whether it's the caffeine nap or just, like, I will also use, like, a meditation app that wakes you up, so it's only, you can set it for 10, 15, 20 minutes.
Brings you out slowly.
Yeah. So
like Gandalf in the Shire.
Yes.
You know, the
yes. So I've done that.
Beautiful music.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And those, but the apps are, I love it. It's great. I'll usually nap in car line before I pick up Chase.
Then it's time for a coffee enema. We're trying all the trendy things today.
But as a kid,
this would be perfect meditation music.
My mom gave special permission for me to not have to take naps
because you wouldn't
at preschool and at kindergarten because I couldn't go to sleep. I wouldn't do it, and I didn't like it.
I understand that. I have that energy that I was always that hyperactive ADD kid,
yeah.
and I did. There's toys in this place, you know?
Yeah, right.
Who wants to nap?
Yeah. Come on, man. There's coloring books. But we were just talking about this off air, Preston. Like I'm doing a juice. I've always wanted to try a juice cleanse.
Yeah.
And so it's set up for when you wake up, have this with this. And I'm like, okay, when I wake up at 3:45 in the morning.
Yeah.
So my day is much longer that I'm awake.
You'll still be okay. I did it. I didn't even finish all of the juices. Like, that's how much they give you.
Yeah.
That I wasn't even finishing all of them. Actually, Nick witnessed it. There was one that was so disgusting.
How many were you supposed to drink a day? Because these are four a day.
I think mine was five.
Okay, so four a day, and then you have like a leafy green sort of,
which I
have anyway. Like, you know, I just move my dinner to lunch now for this time.
Wait, so do you eat anything on this cleanse?
Leafy greens and almonds.
Yeah, that was mine too.
So I'm like, you know, I just always wanted to try the just once, and this one was really recommended. But I'm like, God damn, look at the schedule. That's for people who live like human beings.
Yeah.
We don't.
Yeah.
We're up an incredible amount of time.
Exactly. I'm tired all the time.
All
now.
The time.
I just can't.
All
you know what you need?
And I read and, you
a
know,
banjo. That'll pep you up.
That'll wake me up. Yeehaw.
Yahoo!
But like these cleanses and all these things, hey, boost your energy, new you, blah, blah, bunch of crap.
As you're like sleeping in the middle of the...
I've never had any
Want to know a big secret?
Food thing helped my energy.
Bubonic plague never existed. It was a juicing trend.
Is that what...
Yeah, that wiped out
all right.
half anyway, of Europe.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to go off
no,
on that.
No, you had to say, get it off your chest.
A thought that popped in my head at the last second. Now, one of the things that I have noticed is that, well, I guess I'm noticing.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
It can be, wow. but...
He didn't even know it, and he became the noticer. Sometimes the noticer finds it hardest to notice the things about himself.
This isn't about me. This is just...
but he noticed it's not about him, really.
No. Obviously, Valentine's Day is coming up, so I'm noticing more and more information about dating and obviously romance and all that stuff.
We try to help with this. That's why we do the mixers and things of that nature.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so I saw this article, and it's about how to make yourself feel more confident on a first date.
I bet you I know one of the things.
Okay.
Put a cucumber in your pants.
No.
No?
I mean, that, you know, maybe that might, at some point, you hope that cucumber is going to come out of there.
Yeah, look at this sucker.
Have you ever known anyone who's
really? Yes, a comedian.
Who's put something in their pants to make it look like they have a big bulge?
It wasn't a cucumber. It was socks.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, come
Isn't
on.
Isn't that like stuffing your bra? Like, eventually your partner is going to find out. So why bother lying up front about it?
This guy was so, and I think I've mentioned this guy before, super nice guy, but was so vain.
Mm.
Like, he went bald early.
Yeah.
You know, and so he would put on his toupee and like do like a little foundation to go out to the 7-Eleven.
Really?
I mean, he never went out without going through the process.
Kat, I'm probably asking the wrong person, but you're the only woman in the room. Do you ever look at a guy's crotch?
Since it's just us here, I'll be honest. I think so. Yeah. Like a bulge.
Yeah.
Maybe. If there's a prominent bulge, it's going to catch your eye, right?
In inappropriate moments. Sometimes I'll be like, oh my God, ew. Why don't you just look at Preston's bulge? It's weird. It's weird. Don't ever do that again.
Yeah.
I'm scolding myself.
Okay, I was just curious if that does indeed stand out.
But not like, I wouldn't be like, oh my God, I got to talk to that guy. Look at
right.
his
bulge.
Like
yummy, dum dum.
It's like, I think it's more.
Mommy likey.
It's more accidental. My eyes just glance there.
Right.
I'm like,
oh, I just saw that.
Stop it.
Mm-hmm. stop it.
You're disgusting, Kathy.
Stop watching and start petting.
Susan Trombetti, matchmaker and CEO of Exclusive Matchmaking, says...
I'm the CEO of matchmakers.
Playing a part in picking where and when your first date happens might help you feel more relaxed and therefore more confident.
Okay, but to this point, I mean, I don't mean to dissect everything, but this is all legitimate information here.
Yeah.
There was always a go-to for me for a first date.
Okay.
A restaurant that I liked. I never like an Italian restaurant or something that's going to generate a lot of when I was first started dating and I had my, you know, my part-time job money. I go to a place that it was actually a Greek restaurant that had a nice selection of things, but nothing too like with sauces or stuff that you'd spill on yourself. And the room noise was low, and I played it, and that was my sort of go-to.
I always liked to the restaurant thing. I found. I always felt like, okay, if this isn't good, then we're kind of trapped here. You know what I mean?
So you look for an out option.
An activity.
Okay.
So like a concert, a hockey game.
Did you find you could really talk, though?
Well, that was part of it. I mean, because you had a distraction in case you weren't hitting.
That's the double-edged sword.
And if you did hit, if things were good.
Right.
Then the event that you're at didn't matter. You know what I mean?
No, I hear you.
You could talk.
You do run a risk.
Kind of ignore the event.
Yeah.
But if it doesn't seem right, hey, at least I got a hockey game to watch. Right, yeah. Something like that.
You guys know I've only had one first date in my entire life.
Your wife?
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
Wait, I mean, you went right to like the second date?
If you had other, yeah, you dated other people.
Would you want to go out on a second date with me?
Because.
There were no dates?
There were no, like, I didn't, it was hookups in college.
It was mostly home invasions.
You know, we like, kind of like knew each other, hooked up a couple times, like, you know,
right,
like had been
that.
To parties and blah, blah, blah. Like, no, you know, like my ex before I started dating my wife, I mean, we had been dating for a while and then like she had her birthday and I took her out to dinner for her birthday. That was kind of like technically our first date, but we had been together for a little while at that point.
So already. I was dating. I mean, I was working with my wife at the radio station WDRE in New York, and we went out to a couple of things together. And then I informally invited her to go see. I remember it was Jurassic Park. She was scared crapless because she knew the legend of me freaking out in movie theaters when people talked. But that said, so that was a formal. You never had a formal declared, "Hey, you want to go with me too?"
No. Oh, yeah.
Because that's a date.
No, there was, you know, I forgot. There was one other girl when I was, like, in the summer between my junior and senior year, we had gone out on a date.
All right.
I forgot about that.
Okay.
Okay, so two dates.
Two first dates. That's still low for an adult man.
Right.
But that's great. Good for you. You
nailed it right out of the game.
Yeah. So some other things that you can do to make yourself more confident for a first date. Pumping yourself up with music before you before the date can make
like Metallica?
You
what is this dun, dun, pre-game?
Feel more confident
like
and
mop spaghetti
and do push-ups
and a better move. Yeah. Listen to Eminem.
Yeah,
lose yourself.
Yeah,
or Steve, you can also do a workout.
That's a good get ready for a first date. A workout. Huh?
Yeah, workout or listen to some music. Or watching something that makes you laugh.
That's what used to be my thing, Preston. I'd put on a comedy movie. I'd start doing curls to Lisa and the Cult Jam. So I had it all going. And then I'd splash on my Axe body lotion and I'd be good to go.
You could watch something also that makes you laugh. So before Marissa goes on a first date, she could watch people like push little children over.
Right, yeah.
You know, knock them to the ground, tackle them. That always cracks her up. You might also feel confident if you keep a few news stories or other topics in the back of your mind.
Oh, this sounds like loser.
So you'd never run out of things to talk about.
I think you, when you start going to this level, you're setting yourself up to get to screw up and to get nervous. I think you've got to be a little bit more fluid.
Just kind of see what happens.
Like here, let me take out my news story card catalog.
Right.
News of the day. I'm going to go into the kicker file. These are funny stories that are sort of not time sensitive.
Right.
Yes,
so an anaconda swallowed its own trainer.
I went on a few first dates, Steve, and they were only dates. You know, the only time I went out with that person. And it wasn't like they were disastrous or anything like that. But you know if it's not going to be a second date. Yeah. And so to go
through
the Rolodex of your mind, you're like, ooh, I should be talking about the caucuses in Iowa last night. Like, that's just, if it's not working, it's not working. And that's okay.
Do you know, just
figure it out and then go on to the next one.
To that point, Nick, and to your point, Casey, I always went out with someone I had had encounters with. I ended up at work would be, you know, because I was always working at one level or another. Even I was
a social job, too.
Social job, yeah. And it ended up being a lot later on. And then, you know, so I did. Or friends. I had friends who became girlfriends, you know?
Yeah. I was also thinking about the technique from There's Something About Mary.
Yeah.
Which is, you know.
Rubbing one out.
Rubbing one out before you go. Yeah. And you know what? Before that movie even came out, I absolutely use that technique.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Chris
absolutely.
Elliott gives really good advice.
It's really good advice. You don't got the baby batter on the brain.
It does even things out and makes you less.
Yeah.
You're less consumed with that notion.
And also the idea was you could last longer if you ended up getting
if you're really lucky.
Yeah. What I would do is I would take, you talk about going to a restaurant on the first date. I would take the date to a restaurant I could rub one out in.
Oh, yeah.
Excuse me for a second.
What kind of restaurant is this?
If you need me, I'm going to be over there behind that potted plant.
We'll meet at 7 at Tuggy's.
Yeah. Yeah. Try the calamari.
Right. But this so-called expert says that it's totally normal to feel a little bit nervous on a first date. That's part of being human.
How nervous did you get on your dates?
I would get real nervous.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'd be very concerned. If it was somebody I was really interested in, I was, yeah, real, and just initiating the date itself, asking someone on a date was more nerve-wracking than the date itself usually for me.
I always had good communication skills. I was able to, you know, get to that point, and that was pretty effortless. But before every first date, I would rub 10 out, Preston.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And I was so tired.
I can imagine. I'm just exhausted.
I'm not going to be able to make it tonight.
Wow.
I think because I had been turned down so often in high school that I just didn't have the confidence to go to anybody and say, hey, would you like to go out on a date with me? Honest to God, yeah.
Yeah, well, rejection was
it kills you.
Horrible.
It kills you.
I mean, I even lowered my standards, you know? I was like, okay, yeah. I'm like, I'm not going for the cheerleaders.
Are you saying we're in the same class together?
Yes.
Oh, my God. I got heartbroken so bad because my standards were way too high in middle school, in junior high and high school. Oh, my God. I was crushed.
I had
crushed.
Yeah. We know somebody who always, you know, Preston.
Aimed way too high.
God bless your courage and your fortitude, but there was no chance in hell ever.
Do we know this person?
Yeah. Yes, you would know this person.
Yeah. I'll write it down.
I mean, just to kind of give you an idea of how low my standards were in high school, and by the way, this girl said, no, I don't want to go out on a date with you. We had that Iron Chi-Chi contest.
Yes.
The whole genesis of said Iron Chi-Chi contest was because of this girl. If we go back in history, I found out what Chi-Chi was basically through this person, and then we brought it to the show. And I had told you guys a story off the air about it, and then we ended up talking on air about Chi-Chi and blah, blah, blah.
So, and then fish crawled out of the ocean.
I was not good enough for Chi-Chi, girl.
You were not good enough for prison Chi-Chi.
This is the woman who ate prison food.
A woman who dines on prison food. You were not good enough. God, that'll take the wind out of yourself.
God forbid anything would happen to your current wives. But if you guys were in on a date, first date tomorrow, you'd be much better tomorrow than you were 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, your lives have changed. You've gotten much more comfortable with yourselves.
Sure.
And you'd feel better about a date now.
Yeah, well, God, what a terrifying concept.
Right.
I know, right? But I don't.
Still.
When I'm out with there are times when I'm out in social situations, Nick, with my wife, and I'm seeing, you know, guys kind of go through the process of, I hug my wife extra tight.
Sure, and I totally get that, and you love her so much. But I was single for about a year and a half or whatever, and it can actually be fun. You know, because if you go out with no expectations and just are enjoying yourself, one of my best friends from college went out on a ton of dates.
Yeah.
And he just uses it as an excuse to go out and do something.
I was doing that for a while, and I did what I called the Pepsi Challenge, basically, where I was dating multiple people at the same time, and I was upfront with everybody saying, I want to know what I like and don't like about people, basically.
Exactly. Yeah, and there were plenty of times where he's like, I'm not really looking for love. I'm just going out to enjoy myself and spend some time with other people. Mm-hmm. And I think if you go with that mindset, you're going to be just fine.
And it gives you a good excuse to rub one out.
Yeah, exactly.
Ten times.
If you're looking for an excuse, here's one now. Go ask someone out on a date. So remember, according to this expert, pump yourself up with music before you go on the date. Maybe do a light workout or watching something that makes you laugh, and have some news stories and topics ready to go for your first date. All right. So I noticed another thing, which kind of connects a little bit to romance and dating.
The
noticer sort of
noticed something that corresponds to his first noticing.
Kind of.
Kind of.
So for some adults, intense crushes can still happen. And it actually has a name. I found this interesting because of the analytical nature of this story. It's called limerence.
Limerence? That's the power station near you.
No, that's limerick.
Oh.
Wait, what is this? If you're married and then you have an intense crush?
Even if you're not married, but just a crush in general as an adult.
Right.
But yeah,
as an
adult. Maybe married in a relationship, whatever it is.
Okay, you still we call it I slit your jugular.
Meaning what?
If you're married and you have a crush like this, like an intense crush, no.
No? What? No. I don't
know. Oh, they'll kill you if you have a crush on someone else. Yeah. Yes.
So it's called limerence, or I slit your jugular.
Right. Yeah.
Which is defined as a romantic attraction to another person that typically includes obsessive thoughts, fantasies, and a desire to either form or maintain a romantic relationship with a specific person.
Okay, so this is not necessarily if you're married or have
so
someone else. Okay.
It's considered an all-consuming, involuntary state of romantic desire. Social psychologist hypothesis.
I'd like to apologize to Jennifer Garner and her pool boy, Ben Affleck, for incorporating them into my fantasy life.
But that's what it is. It's something that's not real.
Well, wait
a
second. Also, I have to ask this one qualifying question. Mm-hmm. Are we talking about someone who's already engaged in a relationship having a crush on someone else, or just a crush in general?
Well, that's what Catherine's
asking.
I think it can be either or.
Right.
It's just in general. So social psychologist hypothesize that limerence could be a byproduct of evolution because, in theory, it can be great for helping you fall in love and create a strong connection. But in our modern world, limerence can be all-consuming and unhealthy.
We've all known people. Maybe at some point we've all teetered on the edge of that all-consuming crush that sort of just hurts in your gut because it's not going to happen. But most of us can pull it back.
Well, yes, and if you can't, then you might have some issues.
Then you're going to limerick.
That's the problem.
Then you're going to limerick. My freaking boyfriend's got limericks.
No, you could head down stalker path is what
I'm saying.
I assume that's the jump you take.
Because, it talks about obsessions and fantasies and all that stuff.
I'd like to apologize to Jennifer Garner and her pool boy, Ben Affleck, for incorporating them into my fantasy life.
But then you get healthy and you sound like this.
I apologize to anyone who's been offended by my fictional creations, Chrysagon, the Philosopher of Evil, and the Skull Sealer.
Now that guy's, he's on the right path now. He's making a man, I guess it's part of a 12-step program.
giant steps.
So the experts say that if you're experiencing limerence, you should examine your own life to see what's missing and then figure out how to redirect that energy elsewhere.
There's a lot that goes wrong in this world because of redirection and projection. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
It's not me, it's you.
You're right, exactly. Yeah. So, but I'd never heard that term before, limerence.
No.
And it's outside of adolescence. It's an adult who has a crush.
What was the worst crush you've ever had in your life? Favoring the latter years. It's less typical when you have some dating under your belt.
There was a girl. Here's a girl named Karen in middle school who she didn't even know I existed, but I was in love with her. She was like a cheerleader. She was redhead.
No conversations, no hanging out
and
time.
And she was younger than me. I think she was like a grade younger. And she was just gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
And and I got nervous around her.
Yeah.
That type of thing. But I so desperately wanted to date her.
Yeah.
And just, no. She's way out of my league.
It's just not going to happen.
Way out of my
Did life. Someone give you the come to Jesus speech, or you just figured it out?
No,
eventually?
I figured it out. Karen Sadler, I think, was her name.
And you ever check out online to see?
I'm sure I did at some point or another. I haven't in a long time. You know what? Let me write that down.
Look it up right now. Preston, it's Karen. You remember from school day?
And you know what? No, she wouldn't even know if you
wouldn't
were
even know
to
you.
Approach her now and say if you guys were to call her and say, hey,
yeah,
we do this radio show. This guy Preston, you remember you went to school with him? Willie had a crush on you. You want to come on the show? She'd be like, I have no
Who?
Idea.
Oh, really? What is
this? I think so. Or wouldn't it be wild if she had a crush on me?
She was like, I loved that guy.
I don't remember Preston at all. I had a crush on a gentleman named John DiBella.
What?
Yeah, it's.
How about you? Did you ever have a crush?
Never, like.
No.
I mean, yeah, you know, on some levels, but not just all consuming.
Actually, one of my earliest crushes was back in like sixth grade. A girl named Kelly, and she actually, she wished me happy birthday on Facebook the other day. So,
oh, it's on.
Yeah, exactly. I knew it.
Your private messenger?
Twisting the knife, you sick bitch.
Does her, Preston?
I don't think so.
Where's she from? Is she from St. Louis?
I can't tell, Case. I looked up Karen Sadler on Facebook.
Well, so she just,
the first
just
one
moved
that
in,
pops up. There's probably more than one.
Well, just moved into Harleysville, Preston.
This one lives in Iowa City.
No, that's not her. That's definitely not her. But anyway, it wasn't Kelly. It was Maureen Kelly.
Okay.
Maureen Kelly. And she actually, in sixth grade, I had a total crush on her. But I never tried to follow up on that. I didn't have the balls to do it.
Yeah, I guess, you know? I was always able to contextualize. There was Terry DiNatio, Tracy Phillips. I remember the names.
But I remember every now and then someone of, like, what I felt was in the same league, like a guy that was in the same league as me, aiming high and getting the girl and going,
how?
Now, why didn't I do that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it just, you should try.
You should pay them, Preston. That's what I do.
You should definitely try. All right. Anyway, but that condition is called limerence, and I did not know that. So we're going to segue out of relationships, if you don't mind. I have another story.
No, it's just segueing out of love.
Yeah. This is about relationships between men and women, but on a professional level. So
all right.
I found this kind of interesting. A recent Harvard study found men who worked for men were able to schmooze their way to a promotion or raise, but for women, schmoozing a male boss did not help. And female bosses didn't reward schmoozing at all, no matter who was doing it.
So female bosses would not reward schmoozing from female employees.
Or male.
I've heard some women say that it's harder to work if they're working for a woman, that it could be more difficult.
I don't know, more difficult, but I believe that women have a BS meter and that the schmoozing thing just ain't going to fly at work.
Maybe.
I don't think you can schmooze other women who are in a management position. I just don't think so.
And I could also see, like, maybe accepting the schmoozing and then, you know, like, hey, can I have a raise? And they're like, yeah. And then they walk out and they're like, no.
Kathy's got a good thing she does with Bill. Every day around 1 o'clock, you go down and give him a gentle shoulder massage.
No, right? Stop it.
What constitutes an actual schmooze?
A schmooze is like
brown nosing.
Palling around, brown nosing a little bit. Yeah,
that's
I think that's right.
When I hear schmoozing, I think brown nosing a little bit.
A schmooze is a light, your nose, just the tip of your nose is in the ass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would it be considered schmoozing if you prank call your boss in the middle of a meeting two times?
Oh my God.
In a row?
That was great.
That's antagonizing.
Oh, that's antagonizing.
That's not schmoozing.
Okay.
No,
that works against you.
But schmoozing is tell them about some thick party that's coming up or something like that.
Okay.
That'll be sick.
I mean, it's weird because, you know, you could just be, you're a nice person and you're
you're
nice to everybody equally, not, you know, just because it's a boss, you know.
To that point, I think schmoozing is perhaps friendly work interaction with intent.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Okay. I see what you're saying. Yeah. The researchers theorize this whole thing is because men can more easily schmooze higher-ranking men than women can. They also found, for example, that when a male employee who smoked started working with a male manager who smoked, they, too, tended to take smoke breaks together, and the male employee was much more likely to be promoted than a non-smoker.
Well, this dynamic is diminishing now as less and less people smoke, and it's more and more buildings forbid it.
Yep.
right?
But they're still smoking areas. I mean, like here, there's two.
Where
smoking
are they?
Areas.
I have a hard enough time figuring out where I can park.
Yeah, on the diagram that shows you where the parking is.
There's a smoking area.
It says designated smoking area. Steve's. Yeah. They're at the far ends.
Okay.
Of the building.
And also, there are bosses that don't work in office buildings. So, you know, some other places where, you know, people smoke warehouses and.
Yeah, work sites and work stuff sites, like that.
Smoke
stuff
shops.
Like that. Yeah, smoke shops.
The owner of the smoke shop doesn't smoke. That's weird.
What's that?
I said the owner of the smoke shop doesn't smoke. That's weird. You know,
why? You go to?
If the owner of the smoke shop?
Yeah, that would be weird, right?
It's like the Yes song.
Okay.
Yeah, my smoke shop owner, Dave.
Owner of a smoke shop.
I mean, Sam Malone was a recovering alcoholic, you know, so there
and he owned a bar.
Yeah.
It does happen.
Yeah. There was a plot line on Friends. You know, Rachel started smoking because she was falling behind on her coworker and wasn't schmoozing enough with her boss, so she took up smoking in order to spend more time with her boss. And I had a friend that worked at Vanguard, and he started smoking out of boredom because he hated his job so much, but he would end up hanging out with his boss more because they both ended up being, you know, cigarette smokers.
My buddy Jeff has never smoked a cigarette in his life. He got disciplined for taking smoke breaks with the other smokers in his office.
Well, that was the Friends concept.
Yeah.
She was taking the break, and they were like, you're not smoking. You go back into work.
It happened to Jeff.
So she started smoking.
That is BS.
Uh-huh.
That is BS.
Yeah.
I'm taking a Mentos break. I'm addicted to Mentos.
Yeah, I'm taking a nicotine gum break.
Yeah, but you know what? If the smokers are allowed to take a break, totally. Right?
And that's simply something you've chosen to do.
Yeah.
Every day at 2 o'clock, I eat an entire London broil.
Yeah.
So I'll do it out in front of the building.
I'm a vegetarian, so I'm not allowed to go with you.
Right, right.
My friend works with a bunch of smokers. They work inside a building in the city, and they've got to go downstairs and outside to go. So it takes a bit of time.
While.
Everybody's going to get in the elevator. They got to go outside. And she said, I don't go out for these breaks. She said, I want to add up my time that I'm not taking on smoke breaks and leave an
how
hour
long,
early.
How long? If you were to guess, how long are they peeling off on non-condoned breaks?
How long does it take to smoke one cigarette?
About 5 minutes.
So 5 minutes. And I mean, if it's somebody like her who's traveling or the people she works with,
the elevator's getting everybody to get about a half hour, would you say? Is that ridiculous?
That might be a little long, but maybe like 15, 20 minutes by the time they get back up and actually working.
Yeah. And how often are they going out? And like,
a couple
times
a day. I mean, it's a 9-to-5 job. So they're going out a few times.
Yeah. They might go out and have two cigarettes. I mean, normally, you know, people don't smoke two cigarettes in a row, but if I'm not going to have a cigarette for, you know, a couple hours, all right, let me double up here.
There was someone here for a while the only time I ever saw this person is when they were going out on a smoke break.
Really?
Yeah. All the time. And I'm like, wow, man, that seems to be a large portion of the workday.
Yeah.
And then there were the lazy coworkers who would occasionally smoke in the bathroom.
Yeah.
On the fourth floor.
Was not me.
Wait, here? Yeah.
Who was it?
Really?
There's some people.
A cigarette?
Yeah.
Wow.
Just because they didn't feel like going outside?
Yeah.
You know who it was?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I'll tell you off.
I've never smelled cigarettes in that bedroom right there.
Yeah, I have.
Oh, yeah.
No kidding. I
saw
somebody...
a guy, Casey, he rolled up a thing of toilet paper and started smoking it. It was just the weirdest thing.
There was somebody who would smoke in the stairwell all the way down in the east lobby.
Wait a minute. This text here, some companies are giving non-smokers 5 extra vacation days since they don't take breaks.
Perfect.
That'd be amazing, wouldn't it?
That's a nice thing to do.
That's incentive in both directions. I mean, it's incentive to quit smoking and for more vacation time.
Yeah. By the way, speaking of smelling like smoke, I've heard from multiple people that apparently the hallways have been smelling like poop
yesterday,
like feces.
Yeah.
Really,
it was disgusting.
Here. I haven't smelled it yet.
Which hole in particular?
Out by our bathroom. So going out by the elevators and then making a left, I smelled it yesterday.
That bathroom is no man's land these days.
But
I know.
Sometimes
I don't go to it anymore.
The plumbing here, and you'll walk into the bathroom and there'll be like a terrible smell.
Well, and the bathroom all the way down the hallway, Steve, to the left. If you go to the far end, they're completely redoing that.
Yeah,
it smells like a spa.
No. But there's nothing in there right now, so I'm wondering.
There are no toilets or anything.
No.
It's gutted, so I'm wondering if the plumbing down there is affecting the smell in the rest of the hallway.
It's the mail chute. I apologize, guys.
Did you poop in the mail chute?
In the mail chute.
Again?
They don't use it anymore.
They took it out. Yeah. That's why you're just pooping against the wall now.
Sorry about that, guys. I didn't realize.
Yeah. I figured it would dribble into the slot somewhere.
Is that wrong?
It's funny because I never feel that my own stench is offensive to anyone, yet I'm sure it's absolutely ghastly.
Thank you for raising a point here, by the way. A subtle, it'll work into my point. the lost art of the courtesy flush.
Mm.
It
you do
drives,
it. I know men, yes. And you give a courtesy flush. Yes. I've seen you do it. I've heard you do it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right?
I only do it to mask the sound coming out of my hiney.
Okay.
That's
I could see that. But
well, I think
the courtesy flush is to remove said material and lessen
and
the
said
the
odors. Yes. Yeah. Exactly. It's the ultimate, hey, how are you?
But apparently it seems to be more than just coming out of the bathroom. It's like...
It was in the hallway.
Like the whole hallway.
Yeah, and I don't know what the source was, but I smelled it clearly twice yesterday when leaving our offices.
And by the way, speaking of our offices and all the construction and all that sort of stuff, I was told that this lobby is going to be usable. I mean, even walking through the front doors and all that, like within...
3 weeks, I heard.
Two, I heard.
Oh, that's cool.
So we have an atrium lobby, whatever you want to call it, that's built out now in front of our windows here inside the fourth floor. Mm-hmm. And I'd be curious to see when it's up and running fully.
Hey, going back to the smoking thing, I want to go to Pat here who has a comment. Hey, Pat, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Good. What's up, man?
Hey, I work at the post office, and we had this chart made up for all these people that used to smoke. And, you know, we would mark down how many times you went out for a cigarette to add up your accumulated smoke breaks so that, you know, and then they would take their normal break on top of it and be like, well, you know, I didn't get a break. Well, wait a minute. You went out and smoked 10 cigarettes at 5 minutes apiece. What's that, an extra 50 minutes you're not working?
Yeah.
So they would officially keep track of that, or you guys just kind of did it on your own?
We did it on our own.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Of course, you know, it'd be like, well, I wasn't out there for that long, and... Well, wait a minute, now you smoked 2 cigarettes while you were out there.
Yeah.
You know, you're chit-chatting and everything else, and, you know, it was just funny. You sit there and...
No, I agree. It just seems weird to penalize other employees for not.
Yeah,
you know?
They're kind of making a good case to let people just smoke at their desks, you know what I mean?
And drink.
Yeah.
Why not?
Gamble? Yeah, can I go out for a glass of wine? I'll be back in 5 minutes.
Hey, listen, the old cocktail lunch thing.
Absolutely.
Some people do that.
Just keep it in your car.
Yeah, right.
Right, just drive faster so you get back to work.
All right. Anyway, if you schmooze with a male boss, if you're a man, you can schmooze with your male boss, and it might work. If you're a female and you have a male boss, it usually doesn't work. If you have a female boss... It doesn't work for anybody,
right?
According to or at least in most cases, according to the study.
Statistically,
it's not that kind of interesting.
I'm taking Joe out for lunch today. I figure maybe I'll ask him about it then.
You guys drinking?
Yeah, no. I'm just going to take him out for lunch, and I'm going to pay for him to get a massage.
All right, very good. I saw you. By the way, Casey attack hugged Joe Bell, who's our group manager here.
Yeah,
he's the main boss here.
What does that mean?
And he was in the kitchen, and Casey and Joe are about the same height or something like that. And stand up. I'll show up. Joe's standing there talking to somebody, by the way, and Casey comes over and goes, hey,
oh my God, are you serious?
I swear to God.
I wasn't thinking straight, guys.
I'm like, okay.
I got
and
like,
Joe's a good guy. He's got a great sense of humor, but I'm like, he was in the middle of a conversation.
It was not an important conversation.
No, that's part
so of here's the conversation before it came. So how long is she expected to live?
Right. All right. Anyway, just thought I'd pass that little information along. A couple things I noticed. We're going to have to take a break, though. Thank you very much, Casey, for the music. We do have some stuff coming up. We have a chance to win in $500. If you watched Dr. Oz yesterday, it's going to be around 9:30 or so. We have a concert announcement this morning and a couple of guests who are going to be popping up. In the meantime, we're going to break, come back, and get to the B-File. So stay with us. We'll do that shortly.
Preston and Steve's Cardboard Classic from 93.3 WMMR and Pacifico Beer. Friday, March 6th at Jack Frost Mountain, where the snow comes first. The sled-deemed best design scores a $2,000 cash prize. The best Live Live Anchors Up theme scores $500 and beer for a year from Pacifico. Sprint has $500 for the fastest sled. There's $300 for the coolest Jose Cuervo-themed sled. And somewhat of a gag gift for Preston and Steve's favorite fail. Mandatory sled registration through March 1st at WMMR.com. For the MMR VIP lift ticket pre-sale, the sooner you buy, the less you pay. Through February 23rd, lift tickets are just $10 while supplies last at WMMR.com. Preston and Steve's Cardboard Classic at Jack Frost Mountain.
Sponsored by Chorus Photography and Sprint. Brighter future for all.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Tattoos Day. Today, chance for you to win a Preston and Steve tattoo from world-famous Philadelphia Eddie's Tattoo. Text word TATTOO to 39333. And at some point this morning, we're going to grab a winner. Might just be you. We're going to do the Bizarre File now, though.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Preston and Steve's Bizarre, Bizarre File.
All right, let's get right into this. We're going to start with this. A Michigan man was arrested early Saturday morning after police said he peed off of a St. Petersburg nightclub balcony, hitting two women sitting on a bench below.
Ew.
Piss boy.
Jack Estes Debrabander. Yeah.
That's a hell of a name.
Deborah Bander.
Deborah Bander.
Yes. Was arrested on two charges of simple battery after the incident. Police said Deborah Bander was on.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Peed off the balcony. Deborah Bander? Deborah peed off the balcony.
No, his name is, his last name is Deborah Bander.
Because I'm like, how are you swinging that?
His name is Jack Estes Deborah Bander.
All right, there we go.
So police said Deborah Bander was on the upper level balcony of the club overlooking the sidewalk when he stepped to the railing and started peeing on the sidewalk below. Two women sitting on a bench below were, quote, struck in the face, mouth, head, hands and arms with the defendant's urine as they looked up to see what was hitting them.
Gross. Of course.
Officers noted that Deborah Bander, who records his records list as having an address in East Lansing, Michigan, was intoxicated and uncooperative. He was booked in the Pinellas County Jail.
Well, that's just disgusting.
By the way, all these freaking stories. I was in St. Petersburg over the weekend.
Yeah.
These stories all take place in St. Petersburg.
Oh, geez.
Did you notice any of this going on?
I didn't notice
any
of it. You
were too busy peeing off your balcony.
I was, yeah. A domestic argument turned repulsive Friday evening when a Florida woman smeared dog feces in her fiancé's face.
Wow, man.
Sheriff's deputies responded to a disturbance call at a St. Petersburg home, spoke to a man who said he had been engaged in an argument with his fiancé, Jane Marie Faulkner.
See, that's why my wife is keeping that tub of dog poop.
During the confrontation, the man told cops that Faulkner repeatedly hit him and smeared dog feces in his face. Faulkner, who was intoxicated, reportedly spontaneously admitted to deputies that she did smear dog feces in the face of the victim.
Yes, I did that.
Faulkner was unwilling to provide any more details of the argument.
What more do you need to know?
She was arrested on a domestic battery charge after deputies judged her to be the primary aggressor during the confrontation.
Well, why did you smear dog feces in his face?
By the way, Faulkner's rap sheet includes convictions for grand theft, disorderly intoxication, possession of drug paraphernalia, careless driving, battery, disorderly conduct, marijuana possession, resisting an officer with violence, theft, and narcotics possession.
So this is uncharacteristic.
It's unknown whether the wedding is off due to the events of the weekend or not. A dispute between two men started with one of them urinating in public early Saturday morning.
Is this Florida as well?
And ended, I think this might be Florida, Steve. Yeah, in Pensacola. Yep.
Right. Dear Lord.
Uh-huh. And it ended with both men getting their guns out and shooting at each other.
Yeah!
Captain Paul Burt said their neighbors, the man who confronted the urinating man at about 7:30 a.m., ended up being shot in the face and transported to the hospital. Burt said they got into a dispute because one of them was urinating in a yard or in a street. Either
I think
one,
I'm going to have to shoot you in the face now.
In the face!
Either one was inappropriate, and that started an argument. The man, angry about the public urination, went to his vehicle, got a gun, and began firing shots. The other man, who had finished urinating, went to his vehicle, also retrieved a gun, and returned fire. The one who was mad about the guy peeing is the one who fired the first shots, and then he got shot in the face.
Okay.
Apparently, it's not life-threatening. it says here he walked himself to the helicopter.
He has a helicopter?
No, they sent one, I guess. He was flown.
I got to go take my helicopter to the hospital now.
Right after being shot in the face?
That's why I keep this helicopter in case I get shot in the face during a piss battle.
He was flown to a hospital in Pensacola for treatment. No one has been charged in the shooting yet.
A lot of times these things just end up with no charges pressed.
Birch said that we'll turn the investigation over to the district attorney.
Huh. Neighbors, right?
A 38-year-old man was arrested after threatening to kill his co-workers because they made fun of him after he shaved his beard. Now, I saw that, to add to this, I saw the mugshot. The guy has long hair, too, and that'll come into play here in a moment.
All right.
So San Antonio police were called to a local chemical manufacturing facility after workers said a temporary employee, William Sturtz, started making threats like the Columbine shooting and saying he would use chemicals to dissolve the bodies and make explosives. Now, Sturtz had shaved his full beard the night before, and another employee made comments about Sturtz being a new employee and that the company was hiring a new female. He had long hair.
Because he had long hair.
Yes.
So had Sturtz made his intentions to kill everyone known before this?
No. So he went back to his workstation after the comment and said, what is his problem? Hasn't he ever heard of Columbine before?
Uh-huh.
He is the reason for workplace violence.
All right.
So Sturtz was arrested. He was charged with terroristic threats, by the way.
I bet you he took a lot of smoke breaks, right, Preston?
Probably. And he doesn't have sleeves either. I'm looking at the picture of him. Let's see. Last story.
Yeah.
Careful who you hire. A 33-year-old man allegedly stole from a previous employer and then needed a reference for a new job. Robert Thomas Cotara was employed at the victim's cheer and tumbling gym as a coach last January.
The cheer and tumbling gym?
Yeah. So it's for, you know, gymnastics.
Oh, cheerleaders. Okay. Yeah.
So the victim was in the process of opening a new gym and asked Cotara to take the victim's trailer and equipment to the new gym. But Cotara allegedly took the items, never returned. After several failed attempts for 4 months to contact Cotara and get the items back, the victim received a call from the owner of another gym asking for information about Cotara, who had just been hired. He had apparently put them down as a reference, the people that he stole from.
And they called him.
Yes, exactly. So when the victim told the owner what had happened, she told the victim that Cotara had sold the trailer to her husband for the gym, this new gym.
Do you have any references? Well, the guys I stole this from.
He was charged with theft after the incident, of course. And there you go. That is what we have in the Bizarre File for you this morning. Case, give me some of those movie screening passes.
Yeah, buddy.
So we got a screening of Sonic the Hedgehog coming up on Saturday. It's a 10 a.m. screening, and it will be at the Regal UA Riverview Plaza on South Columbus Boulevard. If you'd like to go, I'll take 7 callers, and we will give you passes. 215-263-WMMR. Don't forget, it's going to hit theaters nationwide February 14th, and it is rated PG-13. So give us a call right now. Marissa, you wanted to plug an event or something coming up. What you got?
Yeah, actually, tonight I'm going to be guest bartending at the Irish Pub. It starts at 6. I will be behind the bar starting at 7 o'clock. It is the Fight for Air Climb for the American Lung Association, a kickoff party. So just like Nick does a stair climb with LLS, this is going to be, I'm considering this one a practice one because I've never done one of these before. So it's a lead up. It's about 6 weeks before
Nick's.
You're
practicing at the bar.
Yeah.
There's 3 steps into the Irish Pub.
This is a kickoff to sign up for the event.
Oh.
Yeah, how perfect. But it's tonight at the Irish Pub with the American Lung Association. They'll have people there explaining the event. They're going to have a discount for signups and just information about the American Lung Association.
When you do the climb, what building is that going to be in? Do you know?
It's one on Market Street.
Comcast 2.
I think it's either Logan. No. It's the one that Nick Murphy got married in.
Really?
What's it?
The Verizon
Nick?
Building, right?
Logan, Verizon, something. It's the one.
Okay.
Don't talk to me.
3 Logan.
All right, fair enough.
Come out tonight to Irish Pub 6 to 8, and you'll have all the information there.
All right, cool. Thank you, Marissa. All right, we need to take a break. We're going to do that very thing. We'll come back in just a moment or two. Stay with us on this Tuesday morning.
Love MMR? Buy some gear. Check out the Rock Shop at WMMR.com. Snazzy.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
As I mentioned yesterday, I went to Florida for a quick weekend visit. My mother had fallen, broken a couple of her ribs, so she needs she lives with my sister, needs some help, so I went down there to assist. And at one point, my mom says to me, "Hey, Press, you know, I'm hungry. Can you make something to eat for me?" I said, "Sure."
I saw this.
She goes, "Will you make me a peanut butter and mayonnaise sandwich?" And I go, "Peanut butter and mayonnaise? Are you serious? Seriously, you're not joking about that?" "No, no, yeah, please." You know, I'm like,
"It's going to taste like your nutsack."
I'm like, "Okay." So I go over and I start to make it.
That's your nutsack.
There's mom. And I started to, like, it was disgusting to me putting this sandwich together. So I'm like, I have to document this. I whip out my phone. And because my mom couldn't wrap her mind around the thought that I felt that this was gross. She's like, "What are you talking about?" She's
you
like,
were never, no memory of ever being served this as a kid. Does she claim you have?
Oh, she definitely didn't serve it to me. I never had that. And I don't remember seeing her eating it as a kid. And either I have repressed these memories.
A therapist can get at it.
Or she was just doing it on the sly or whatever. So I make the sandwich. And so I'm taking pictures, and she's like, "I can't believe you find this strange." And I go, "Mom, I'm posting this on social media." And she goes, "Why?" And I said, "Well, because you're going to see the comments, and people are going to find it's gross." She's like, "I don't think that." I go, "Sit back and watch."
Uh-huh. Did you read the comments to her?
Oh, yeah, which was great because it entertained her for a while because she's, you know, she's in pain and everything.
Aww.
And so I have 481 comments.
Oh, my God. Seriously?
Yeah.
And the majority of the people think it was gross?
Overwhelmingly.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, some of them were like, "Yeah, I used to eat this," or "I haven't had that in a long time," or "My parents ate that." And the consensus to people who did have it was that it is a Southern thing, okay?
So, for abused children.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But while I was there, my uncles came by for a visit, you know, my mom's brothers. And we were telling them about it, and they're like, "Oh, yeah, love those. I haven't had it in a long time." My mom said the real kicker, though, is you throw banana on there.
Okay.
And then you got a home run. Now, I've had peanut butter and nanner sandwiches.
That's an Elvis special. And they're fried. Yeah. I mean, they're very good.
But mayonnaise.
Preston, please tell me that you used Hellman's.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Yeah. It wasn't Miracle Whip or any kind of abomination like that, but yeah.
Casey, is this something you've had?
Never, ever, ever. I find this to be extremely repulsive. However, I want to try it. Because I do like mayonnaise.
And well, we can swing this. We can get this.
The way my uncle described it to me, he says, "Yeah, it makes it creamier."
Oh.
And I was like, "Okay. Right. I see what you're saying, but I still..."
Can we just get creamier peanut butter?
Yeah, exactly.
That's when you have to say, shut up, old man.
I can't wrap my mind around that. See, I just know.
I'm not a good judge of this because I hate mayonnaise. So to me, this was terrible.
Now, something else sweet in the sweet family with peanut butter, yes, I can see that. But the mayonnaise is not... There's no sweetness in my...
I do like mayonnaise. I like Hellman's mayonnaise. I use Hellman's light mayonnaise, and I enjoy it. I can even work up occasionally the Kraft Miracle Whip, but it's not mayonnaise.
Yeah.
This as a Southern thing, Preston. As I said before, my mom was a Southern cook and would make mashed potatoes with mayonnaise in them. So mayonnaise would work its way into a lot of stuff. I have never heard of mayonnaise and peanut butter sandwiches.
No, I mean, for the first time ever, two or three summers ago, I had peanut butter and honey. And I thought that was delicious.
That actually sounds pretty good.
Because you have honey and peanut butter bars.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's sweet and sweet. I could, you know, those and two
I,
things.
But
well
I had never heard of that before. But to me, when I heard of it and I saw it, of course that makes sense. This right here makes no sense whatsoever.
Well, I think this would be a perfect complement to like a lemon meringue and anchovy pie.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the picture that I posted myself of this sandwich that I made, and it's making me a little ill.
Did you nibble? Did you try?
No.
You wouldn't go anywhere near it.
I don't want to.
Yeah, no, I can't do it.
All right, so we got a lot of calls coming in. Let me go to Tucker. Hey, Tucker, how you doing?
Hey, Preston. Good morning.
Tucker, it was actually one of the first ones to comment on this, I believe, on my post, if
peanut
I remember.
Peanut butter mayonnaise is my favorite sandwich. I eat it all the time.
Really?
I have lots of friends and ex-girlfriends that tried it and still eat it now.
Really? How many girlfriends became ex-girlfriends once you introduced them? So to that point, calorically and everything, this is not good, right?
No.
Well, you're not doing it for that, though. You're not doing it for the diet.
Case, you're doing it for the chicks.
My 92-year-old father claims to have invented it.
Oh, really?
Yes. Really?
There's always a family member that claims to have invented a food product.
All right. Thanks,
Tucker. I invented stew.
But I mean, like, yeah, peanut butter and honey, that's not going to be calorically good either. It's going to be over the top.
No, it's, again, you're not doing it because you're on a diet.
Yeah.
So I want to try this. And then there, you know what? I'm thinking there's something that I've always wanted to try. It's milk and Pepsi. That was on Laverne and Shirley.
We did, actually. You may have forgotten. I think we had it on the show here. And
did we?
Really?
Yeah. Because to me,
we did.
Because we likened them to
it was
like
gross.
Egg creams and things of that nature. They're,
okay.
I've always loved that taste. Are you a fan, Preston?
No.
Milk and Pepsi?
No.
Okay.
No.
They drank that on Laverne and Shirley all the time. That was their go-to.
Yeah. I'm down with that.
But I assume they made that up. Because it was just seemed weird or gross, right, for the show?
No, I think I...
Was it a thing?
Yeah, it's a thing. I knew about it. Milk and Pepsi was always a thing.
Okay.
In fact, the... So what goes into an egg cream?
I don't know. I've never had an egg
cream. Okay, so it's always my understanding this is one of the parts of an egg cream. That was explained to me, but I don't know. But I always liked the taste. It always seemed like a ice cream parlor drink.
Do you remember Orange Julius?
Yes.
That was essentially, it was orange juice with an egg in it.
Okay.
And some sugar.
Oh,
and
really?
We used to make them at home, and you blend it and that frothy stuff on the top.
I think the egg
does that. That's what that comes from.
There's, I forget the name of the bar, but anyway, some bartenders who make cocktails will put like a little bit of egg in it.
Is it egg white or yolk, to put that froth at the top?
Yeah.
An egg cream? Do you have it?
Yeah, Steve. Despite the name, it contains neither eggs nor cream. It's milk, carbonated water, and/or some flavored soda, and then a syrup of some type.
Son of a bitch!
There you go. So it could be chocolate, vanilla, whatever.
So that's why I like. Yeah, I think that's why I always liked it.
Wow. Okay. Let me see here. I'm going to go to Bob. Hey, Bob. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, fellas. Gadzooks.
Yep. What's that?
I said Gadzooks. Gadzooks to you, sir.
Couldn't hear you. All right. What's up, Bob?
Okay. I'm one of eight kids, and my mother, 50 years ago, we were in elementary school, and my mother would make our lunches for us. And she would have an assembly line going, and she would be making peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, and she would make ham and cheese sandwiches. Well, she mixed up putting them together one time, and I got a peanut butter, mayonnaise, and cheese.
Peanut butter, mayonnaise, and cheese. And how did that go down?
It went down very good. I eat them to this day.
Wow. You eat them to this day? It was a happy accident.
It's like comfort food.
Okay.
And if an Ajax container had spilled over onto the sandwich, that'd be part of it as well.
I guess so.
But the bad thing is somebody got a jelly mustard and ham sandwich.
Oh.
Well, gross. Dude, that's like a Monte Cristo almost.
Thanks, man. Jelly, mustard, and ham is like a
minus the mustard, but like jelly and ham, isn't that like Monte Cristo?
Monte Cristo is
what the hell is a Monte Cristo?
Monte Cristo, you take essentially French toast, and then turkey and apple and
there's jelly
cheese. I've never put jelly on my Monte Cristo.
There's jelly on it. I just know it.
You'd have to look up what a Monte Cristo. Oh, here we go. Monte Cristo. Nick pulled it up already.
I don't think there's jelly.
The sandwich is savory rather than sweet. Traditionally, is dipped entirely in egg batter and pan fried. There you go. That's your French toast. Though it may also be deep fried, which includes sliced turkey. Some areas of the U.S. serve it grilled, and others it's an open sandwich. And the only bread the bread battered and the assembled sandwich heated slightly under a grill or boiler.
You can serve it with syrup or preserves or jelly. So
yeah, I've always had it with syrup. Case.
Okay.
Or mayonnaise.
So there's your... Yeah. With mayonnaise.
Yeah. But you eat the mayonnaise separately in a cup.
By the way, our buddy Matt Ritter over at Subaru said, he just texted me, he said, I grew up on peanut butter and mayo every day for lunch through middle school.
Look at how hairy his knuckles are.
Yeah.
That's what happened. That's what happened.
Clearly the nutrients involved in growing hand hair.
I was going to say, Preston, I just got an email from Matt Ritter, our buddy over at Subaru.
Oh, you did? Okay, sorry. Let me go to...
I just got an email from Matt Ritter.
Let me go to Rachel. Hi, Rachel. Good morning.
Good morning. Gadzooks.
Rachel, what's up?
So, growing up, my father
every day for lunch, my mother made him peanut butter, mayonnaise, and cheese sandwiches.
Just like the last caller.
The cheese thing is an addition you would scarcely imagine, Preston.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting here listening to all these callers, and still to this day, that makes me gag.
Yeah, yeah. And does he still eat it?
He still eats it to this day, although his cholesterol is high now. So yeah. His doctor told him to cut it out.
His doctor told him to throw a pork chop on it.
Right. All right. Thanks, Rachel. Yeah, the peanut butter, there's some things, yes. I love peanut butter. It's so great all by itself.
Well, next week I'm doing a peanut butter and mayonnaise cleanse.
Oh.
I just don't, to me, we go down this road occasionally and people, you know, talk about their things.
The weird combinations.
The weird combinations. I just don't see this one getting together. It taste-wise, I'm pretty open-minded to some of this stuff. It just doesn't seem to work.
I was just listening, so I just started listening to another audiobook. It's Stephen King, it's Carrie. And
yeah.
At the beginning, he does a foreword, and he talks about when he was a struggling writer. At the beginning, he made up his own dish, a casserole. I forgot what he called it, but essentially it was peanut butter. It was Cheerios wrapped in peanut butter and deep fried.
Oh, my gosh. Oh.
Yeah, exactly.
Does Carrie...
I would imagine peanut butter and Cheerios could be okay together.
Yeah. I feel like peanut butter and anything is okay together. Like, if you are a mayonnaise fan, then sure. You know, I just don't like mayonnaise.
Well, here you go. John added something to peanut butter that should never be done. Hi, John, you're on the air. Good morning.
Oh, you're right.
Delco!
Oh, no. There you go. Oh, that no. makes sense now. Yeah.
All right, what are they eating Delco, John?
The Buxco now, so...
Oh,
Buxco, there you go.
Anyway, yeah, peanut butter and pickles.
Peanut butter and pickles.
No. Sandwich?
With an occasional slice of cheese.
With an occasional slice of cheese.
Okay, I take back my you can put peanut butter with everything.
I mean, cheese and pickles, I'm okay with.
Yes.
Well, I mean, you don't need the peanut butter. Speaking from a point of not having tried it, I just, I have a good feeling about hating this.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but I don't know.
Right. Thanks, John.
I know a dude who uses relish, you know, relish on like everything, you know, really like relish sandwiches. Does that work for you guys?
No.
That's like not great. Yeah, Nick would be out completely.
See, I love pickles, and I put pickles on weird things like, you know, like a meatball sandwich, you know, usually meatballs and.
Really?
Yeah.
And pickles?
Yeah.
What about a cheesesteak? Would you ever put pickles on a cheesesteak?
Sure would.
Yeah, okay.
Yep.
Well, listen, you go with like Chick-fil-A. I mean, they put pickles on essentially a fried chicken sandwich.
Yeah, that's good.
Those are good sandwiches.
And it's good though, right?
It's really good.
And I would
never. A little bit of mayonnaise.
I never would have thought of that. Yeah, my mom slathers mayonnaise on that. I'm God, he's just... All right, you're in your 80s, eat whatever you want.
Honestly, at a certain you want to, when you get up to that age, you just want to, put some ice cream and pork chops on it.
Sure, why not? Let me go to Dan. Hey, Dan, good morning.
Hey, sorry to bother you guys at work.
It's all good, buddy. What's up?
Hey, got two real quick combinations of butter and banana sandwiches.
Butter and banana, okay.
Regular butter and banana. It's not too crazy, but it's okay. Good. But my grandma used to put raw eggs in my milkshakes and never tell me, but she put Pepsi in my chocolate ice cream milkshakes, and I never knew it until I was like 25.
All that works for me. That all is in that realm of the ice cream soda, and all of that stuff seems to have, there's a history to that. So I wouldn't say that was bad.
Did you notice a difference? You know, if you would have a milkshake with or without soda in it?
Now I would, yeah. As a kid, it was like, you know, it was just a regular thing. I thought all milkshakes tasted that way.
Wow.
My mother used to have a thing, and again, she was a Southern cook. She'd put radiator fluid into my milkshakes.
Could you tell?
I couldn't tell. I mean, I started to get weaker. I noticed that.
Mm-hmm, right.
Mm-hmm. And that's how I met Haley Joel Osment.
But I got the various on this post that I made. I got the various peanut butter combinations, which I thought was a bit odd. I did see this one from time to time, so George isn't alone, but I'll let him explain it to you. Hey, George, good morning.
Good morning, guys. What's going on? Rock and roll.
Rock and roll is music.
All right, so what did you mix with peanut butter?
Peanut butter and bacon, but you got to do it right out the pan while it's still hot. This way it melts the peanut butter.
No.
I mean, well,
I can sort of,
but
I'm
it's
not
interesting because
you try it.
Because like bacon and sausage, if I'm eating pancakes and there's syrup, I will definitely dab the sausage or bacon in the syrup, and that's sweet and savory.
Sausages.
But
you
I don't think it...
you gotta toast the bread though. This way, the bread doesn't get soggy.
I don't think I'd go with the peanut butter.
Once that hot bacon hits that peanut butter and it melts into like a peanut butter sauce, it's phenomenal.
How often do you have this, George? This is a treat.
I try to have this at least once a week. It's nice and good and protein for my jujitsu.
There you go. The great jujitsu masters use this as their
protein boost.
Sensei recommends.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. I recommend a bacon and a peanut butter.
Yeah.
And the mini egg sodas.
Let me go to Joe. Hey, Joe, good morning.
Well, they weren't playing Parcheesi.
They sure were not.
All right, Joe, what's your combo?
I dated an African girl once. She could cook her butt off like it's nobody's business. She made peanut butter stew. It had, they kind of mixed it with a little bit of rice, put it over rice, and ate it with meatballs. When I first heard about it, I was just like, what are you doing to peanut butter? It was crazy, but it was damn good.
Wait, so she would have peanut butters and meatballs? Peanut butter and meatballs?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Was she a great big fat person?
That's what I said. I was just like, this is crazy, but oh, my God. I tried it. It was good.
All right. Interesting.
Spicy as hell, but yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Was she giving you a handy while you're eating?
Well, I guess it's like...
It doesn't sound good at all.
Some Thai food has, you know, peanut sauce.
Yes, and I do love that.
And so, and I believe you use peanut butter to create
that is?
Sauce.
Okay.
Or part of it, you know, you mix it with other things.
God, that stuff is good. However, Thai food, for me, can run nuclear hot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Quickly. Iso Thai Thai.
Yeah.
Nailberry Thai Thai. It's true. She used to work as a Thai chef.
Yeah. She was so Thai Thai.
Iso Thai Thai. Adelaide.
And then when the Adelaide came out.
Yeah.
Nail being
Tata. That's what you introduced your own brand of Tai Tai.
Okay.
My friend's dad
Nails Tai Tai cooking.
Used to eat peanut butter and horseradish on crackers.
Oh, man.
What?
No.
I said, oh, my God. Stop she it. Said, it's actually delicious.
Oh, wait, right. Stop it with it's actually delicious.
That one I'll try. The peanut butter and mayo, I'm out.
And horseradish?
I'll try the peanut butter and horseradish, yeah.
Can we... All right. Does Cho's? I'm sure Cho's has a large mayonnaise selection.
Well, they have raw horseradish root down there.
Of course they do.
Pancake has peanut butter in his desk because he has it fairly frequently. He has a jar of Skippy.
We can get mayo from Manja downstairs.
Okay, I don't know.
All right, let's send a recon as quickly as we can. Right.
I only do Hellman's.
I have money.
I'm not a mayo guy.
Do they not have Hellman's down
there? I don't know, man.
Make sure they have Hellman's.
If I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it with Hellman's only.
All right.
You got standards.
I have standards. Mayonnaise and peanut butter, and how is it served? What kind of
bread? Just regular white bread or a bagel.
Yeah, if you can work up
like
one
that.
Or two mayonnaise and peanut butter sandwiches.
Do you have any bread choices?
The way pressed, the way pressed.
Do you have a marble rye or pumpernickel?
I'd like a something Italian.
Yeah, yeah.
How about a ciabatta?
You have a three grain. Yeah. Hang on, let me go to. Dave next. Hey, Dave, good morning.
Gadzooks.
Gadzooks, buddy. What's up?
So mine is a peanut butter on an onion bagel.
Peanut butter on an onion.
Did you invent that, or was that handed down to you through generations?
I was a kid doing crazy stuff, and I thought it might taste good, and it's freaking fantastic.
Hmm. And you've eaten it all your life?
Oh, yeah, ever since I was a kid.
Huh. Peanut butter on an onion. Now,
that's not that, because it's just like a... It's like just a little bit of onion. Like it's not.
It's
not
like a,
with onions.
It's like a Jolly Rancher.
Dave, will you go with other flavored bagels if you have to?
I mean, like an egg bagel is not too bad, but I prefer the peanut butter or the onion.
Okay,
I'm not an egg bagel fan.
I do like one of my go to afternoon snacks is peanut butter on toast.
Yes.
It's perfect for
melts
me.
Now you're talking because the toast melts the peanut butter.
It's still a little too dry for me, though.
And I have it with a cup of coffee.
No. Right. It creates a nice melted texture. I agree. Now, a toasted peanut butter and jelly sandwich is superb as well.
I haven't had peanut butter or jelly in a long time, but I did used to eat that quite
Annabelle
a bit.
Annabelle likes
it. Annabelle loves
it. What kind of bread do you
use jelly.
For your toast?
Wheat bread. I try to eat wheat bread nowadays.
Not a marble rye?
What?
Not a marble rye.
I have a good pumpernickel.
Yeah. I like that.
My fried nanner sandwiches.
I made the switch over to wheat bread a while back. I never have liked wheat bread in my life, but I'm trying to stay away from enriched flour and stuff like that.
I want my fried nanner sandwich on some pumpernickel.
That's right.
Give me some of that Jewish bread, man.
So when he would fry the nanner sandwiches, would he fry the whole sandwich? Would he deep fry the thing?
Nick, he was so compulsive about this, and this is a true legend. It's actually, I think they actually talk about it in the This Is Elvis. His private jet would fly to, when he was home in Memphis, he would fly his private jet to Vegas. They would pick up, the woman prepared, I guess at Caesars or wherever he played, the woman there prepared it exactly the way he liked it. It was fried peanut butter and nanner sandwiches.
And so the whole sandwich,
and fried.
And he loved burned bacon.
Yep.
Okay. The chef at almost said Neverland.
It's a whole other thing. Yeah, that's I like my bacon fresh and young.
Yo.
At Graceland.
I like it tubeless.
He liked burned bacon, a whole bunch of burnt bacon and peanut butter and nanner, fried peanut butter and nanner sandwiches.
I like
and the thing
bacon
is, it
up.
Never affected his weight.
Not one bit.
Cholesterol was totally fine.
Hey, burned all the fat and calories off.
Right, that's right, man. It's a big secret. All you got to do is burn that fat right out, man.
Let me go to Keith. Hi, Keith. Good morning.
Gadzooks.
Gadzooks. What's up, my man?
So my wife and my stepdaughter looked at me funny because you can tell this accent ain't from around the Philly area.
Mm-hmm.
I eat mayonnaise and banana sandwiches.
Yeah. Okay. So what my mom was saying, Keith, and she's from Kentucky, is not just peanut butter and mayo, but if you add banana to it, you got a home run.
Oh, God, yeah. It's a southern delicacy. And you make it to where it's dripping off the sandwich.
Oh.
And the doctors are just like, oh, God. Eh.
Oh, and it'll be dripping just the way you like it, sir.
Is this like a treat for you, Keith, that you have from time to time, or is this a regular part of your diet?
Oh, no, it's every once in a while, like once a month or when I'm at a NASCAR race or something like that.
The vendors walk around.
That's a one-way trip to a casket right there, my friend.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Keith. Appreciate it, man.
You got to like those things. I mean, one of the perennials we talk about all the time, Preston, was the potato chip sandwich. It's a given.
Yeah.
Stuff like and that. I used to have the potato chips and mayonnaise sandwiches.
Man.
Oh, we did cheese, pickles, and sour cream and onion chips smushed on the bread.
Okay.
At 2 a.m.
I like...
Because you're cooking.
I like cheese and pickles on toasted bread with some mustard. Yummy. All right, well, anyway, we do have to take a break. They're working on getting the peanut butter mayonnaise, so maybe Casey can try one a little later on. But my mom loves these and just was blown away about the fact that it was seemed odd to people that mayonnaise and peanut butter aren't, you know, meant to be together.
And now she's an internet sensation.
That's right.
She's an influencer now.
She is. All right, we're going to take a break, and when we get back, we got a couple of guests that are going to be joining us. Don't forget, it's also Tattoos Day. A chance for you to win a Preston and Steve tattoo. Text word tattoo to 39333. We'll come back in just a sec.
What's up, podcasters? We've got a movie giveaway. 10 pairs of tickets to the Preston and Steve premiere of Sonic the Hedgehog.
This Saturday at 10 a.m. Regal UA Riverview on South Columbus Boulevard.
To enter, email your name,
age, and phone number to podcast@WMMR.com.
Good luck.
Before we welcome our guest on the phone, Nick, who is this post from on Instagram?
I'm not sure. He's a listener of the show. He's a big fan of our show and of Bob Harper, which I thought was pretty cool. So I guess maybe he's been on The Biggest Loser. But I'm
It says Coach Jim 52, and it says our host, which leads me to believe he's a part of Biggest Loser somehow or another. It says our host, Bob Harper, is going on 93.3 WMMR, Preston and Steve show today at 9 a.m. My worlds are smashing together. I've been listening to this show since my 20s, and Casey better bring up Delco. So I don't know if Jim was on the show or what, but okay.
Let's find out.
I'm curious. Yeah. We're gonna welcome to the show this morning. Biggest Loser Season 18, by the way, on USA Network Tuesday nights. The one and only Mr. Bob Harper is on the program. Hi, Bob.
Hi, guys. How are you?
We're doing good. So I mentioned this post. Does that sound familiar? It just says Coach Jim 52. I have no idea who that is.
Jim DiBattista.
Jim DiBattista?
I know exactly who Jim is. He is on our new reboot on Biggest Loser. He is one of our contestants. He's on the red team.
Okay. Oh, okay. Excellent. Nice. All right. Well, that's cool. I didn't know we had somebody in the air, but I guess, listen, the contestants on this show are from all over the place.
Yes. All walks of life.
Yeah. And 18 seasons. So clearly people love watching this program and the transformation and all that they've been through. I want to get right to it, though, Bob, because, you know, you've had the thing happen in 2017, 51 years old. You had a heart attack. It's part of your human story now. But it's just one of those things where, like, you were doing everything right.
Right.
You know, here I am living the most healthy life I can possibly live, and this all of a sudden happens, and that had to have just, you had to have gone, really, you know?
Yeah, I got to tell you, I woke up in a hospital 2 days later being told that not only did I have a heart attack in that gym, but I went into cardiac arrest. And I have to say that it changed my life forever because I thought, wait a minute, how could I have a heart attack? And I've learned so much since having a heart attack. I realized that we are all at risk and you have to really know your health from the inside out.
Yeah, no, it's true. And people need to be active participants in that. They have to get their checkups. They, you know, we all have the same doctor on the show who's phenomenal, and being aware of that stuff is, you know, no one likes that aspect of it, but it's part of keeping the machine running. And so if you're investing all that time and effort in the workouts and the diet, then you have to make sure that every base is covered, and then you will have a good run. So, but you, since you did this, you've modified your own training patterns, and the show The Biggest Loser obviously speaks to people making life changes. Your workouts became a bit different. Your diet, you were a vegan, and now you're sort of off that, correct?
Well, I mean, I was a vegan for a while, but I really spent my diet mostly eating, you know, a lot of protein, more fat. I was doing a lot of very intense CrossFit workouts, and you know, I've changed all that. My diet is much more balanced now. I don't eat very much red meat. I eat a lot of unprocessed vegetables. You know, I try to keep my diet to be very clean and more on the low fat side. But it was like me asking all the questions to my doctor, and I encourage everyone that's listening to you to, you know, that's the person you need to have your conversation with about the way you should be eating, because there's so many messages that are out in my field. And I think that when you find what you're supposed to be doing according to your own body and your doctor, then you're going to be really taking care of yourself.
So you step in as host for the new version of the show. And so you were a trainer. Now you have that, and that brings with it a whole new set of obligations. Do you like the transition?
Oh, I mean, I got to tell you, I love it. I, you know, when Biggest Loser was on NBC for 17 seasons, I was the trainer. I was the host of the final season. And now with this whole reboot, and, you know, we call it season one now, not season 18, because it is a totally brand new show. I mean, the show is filled with, like, hope and inspiration. I mean, you guys, you might not know Jim now, but when you start watching the show, you're going to see, like, Jim's a hero. I mean, this guy, he came in just ready, willing, and able to do whatever it was going to take, as did all the other contestants. And I love being the host. It was a lot of fun. I do these support groups with all of the contestants, which we all just sit around and we talk about what brought them here and what they're feeling on any given day. And I think that the viewers are really going to get a lot of inspiration out of it.
Well, yeah, and you're the sole host, but you have this two new trainers. You have Steve Cook and Erica Lugo, I believe it's pronounced, or Lujo?
Erica Lugo.
Right. And yeah. So she's a cancer survivor. And so these people have, you know, they've had different things going on in their lives. But you know what? It's funny because with this, and you talk about, you know, sitting down and having conversations with these people, I think in one level, like exercise and doing, if you do one thing and stick to it, and Preston and I always talk about this, that it, you know, you have to have that foundational thing you stick to, and that allows you to stick to other good regimens that benefit you. Once that core goes away, once you stop exercising, everything seems to collapse.
Yeah. Well, first, you were talking about Erica just a second ago.
Yeah.
I think it's worth mentioning that Erica not only is a cancer survivor, but Erica was a person that lost 160 pounds on her own, has kept it off for over 5 years now. This woman is, I mean, she is a true person that walks the walk in this world, and I could not be more impressed with her. I really do feel like when you talk about sticking to one thing, and yes, I think exercise is super important, but when I get people to start changing their lives, I get them to try to focus on what they're eating, because I really do believe that what we eat really makes us who we are. So
yeah.
Focusing on your diet more so than anything else, and then start working out. Because I know a lot of people that think, I can eat whatever I want, and then I'll just go to the gym and just, you know, beat it out of themselves. I'm like, that's just not how it works.
Bob, I have a question about, you know, people who are who are looking to lose weight and get a healthier lifestyle, who don't have support. Because I have found, if you've got somebody doing it with you, it's exponentially easier. You've got someone you can lean on. You've got somebody you can talk to about it. Somebody can commiserate with. What about for those people who are maybe even in their own home? Everybody else in the family is going about their lifestyle, doing their own thing, and they have no interest in this, yet you are committed and you want to do it, but you're on your own. How do you motivate yourself? How do you get support if you're by yourself doing that?
Well, I mean, that is a really, really good question, because when you have someone to lean on, just like you said, it makes it so much easier. I will say this. If you are out there doing it on your own, try to surround yourself around like-minded people. Go to gyms that have group fitness classes that you can start to meet other people.
Yeah.
There are really great fitness apps that are out there. There's one that my fiance works with. It's called NeoU. And, I mean, they just, like, they're on your phone now just showing you how to work out. Mm. And, I mean, I think that that is just an incredible that's incredible motivation, because you just have them right there just kind of talking to you. It's like, you know, I didn't have that back in the day. We had, you know, DVDs, and I mean, I've done a million DVDs, but the world has changed now, and there's so many different ways that you can get motivated and feel like you have a community.
Right.
Hey, Bob, I want to ask, because you had mentioned that Erica had taken off 160 pounds, has kept the weight off for about 5 years. Listen, I've struggled with my weight for as long as I can remember. And what do you think is that threshold for, you know, success as far as taking the weight off and keeping it off? Because you said 5 years, and as a person who has gone up, yep, and down and up and down, what do you think is that threshold of, you know, after you've lost the weight, of keeping it off, that you're actually going to stay that way?
Well, and that is the million-dollar question, because people can lose the weight, it's keeping it off, because it gets monotonous. I mean, you have to think about what you eat every single day. And that's why I think Erica had such success, and so many people that I've worked with that literally had to change everything about their core life. They had to make sure that their partner was involved. They have to think about it all the time. And that's what you need, because people think that when you lose the weight, you can you've won the battle. And I mean, like, that's just when the battle begins. And the more that you can stack the deck in your favor, making sure that you have people around that can support you in those tough times, because it's going to be tough, and you realize that, you can really set yourself up for success if you have that core group around you.
And that's the whole basis of the show, is what you do, is you have all these people working together in a team style. You said, obviously, there's a competition involved that sort of spurs them on to achieve. But ultimately, I think that's, you know, also that you're bringing elements of fun to the process, too. And if in your own thing, if you're losing weight and you give yourself, you know, the ability to enjoy certain things and pick foods that you're going to enjoy eating, and don't make it this dour, dark, I guess I must begin the process, yeah, and make it a positive thing, you're more likely to benefit from it.
I mean, I love that you just said that, because it's what I try to tell people all the time. You've got to find something that you enjoy doing. You've got to find a way to make this new lifestyle change, you know, more inviting. Because let me tell you, if you're eating really crappy food all the time, I mean, it you know, people get in, you get enjoyment from that. You've got to find a whole different outlook on life, and let food not be, you know, your primary source of joy.
I mean, yeah,
and
yeah,
working out. I have so many people telling me, like, I know I need to lose weight, but I hate running. And I'm like, well, I mean, then running's not something that I would encourage you to do.
Right.
You've got to find. There's so many ways to work out now. Find something to test them all. I mean, I'm a big fan of any kind of workout that gets your heart rate up and that you will want to do the next day.
Yeah. Hey, Bob, I know you've got to go. You're on a tour here, but real quick, as we're letting you go, how many peanut butter and mayonnaise sandwiches should people eat on a daily basis?
That sounds absolutely disgusting.
We were just talking about, my mom actually eats those. It's repulsive.
That is repulsive.
So not part of the Biggest Loser program. Mm.
I would say no.
No.
No. Okay, so no.
All right. All right. Well, listen, Bob, we appreciate your time. We'll be keeping an eye on Jim DeBattista because he's going to represent Philly. But Biggest Loser, Season 18, USA Network. You can catch it Tuesday nights, 9 o'clock tonight. So thanks so much, Bob. You're an inspiration. We appreciate you coming on.
Thanks for everything, guys.
All right, you bet. Bob Harper, guys.
Yay!
Wow.
Nice guy.
Yeah, very nice guy. I was looking at the picture here. We've got info on Jim DeBattista. He's called Coach.
Yeah.
Father of three boys, coach of a local youth football team in Philly. And I guess this is his bio from the show. He decided to go on The Biggest Loser at 385 pounds in order to prove himself, his family, his team, that he's willing and able to tackle his weight and fight for a healthier future.
I'm going to have to, when this was on NBC, I actually used to watch
it. You watched it all the time.
All the time with my wife. And believe it or not, it's inspirational as you're watching it. Now, these contestants, they're living a different lifestyle. They're, basically on a camp. The food is, prepared for them, prepared, and they're, for lack of better terms, forced to exercise quite a bit. But regardless, they're putting in the work, and the weight is coming off. So when you watch that, you're like, okay, I can do that,
Yeah, and they're also getting imported peanut butter and mayonnaise.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Speaking of which. So we had this extended conversation a little while ago. My mom made me make her a peanut butter and mayonnaise sandwich. And I posted it on Instagram, and I got an overwhelming amount of comments on it. And the majority of people think it's disgusting. Some people think it's absolutely awesome. Now, the people who think it's disgusting have never had it before.
That's true. That's true.
So we had our friends down at Manja, the restaurant here in our building in One Bala Plaza, send up two pieces of bread. One has mayo, one has peanut butter. We're going to put them together, and Casey's going to try it.
Yeah.
Are you ready, Case?
Yeah. By the way, I am not looking forward to this.
This could be a life changer, though.
It could be. Whether I like it or not, I'm taking one bite, and it'll be a healthy bite.
Remember?
And that's it.
Think of the way you were pre-strap-on and post-strap-on. Yeah. Sometimes you realize,
Now I don't like strap-ons.
Now he's crazy into pegging.
Totally into pegging.
Yeah.
No!
Yeah.
I was going back door. You went front door?
No, that's not pegging. That's sounding.
Okay. Sorry. Never mind.
Or docking, whatever you want to do.
Okay. Anyway, are you ready?
I'm going to mash these two together.
Okay.
Oh, my God. That looks so gross.
Doesn't it, though?
Yeah.
I can't believe you're going to eat this. I don't even want to watch you eat it.
I'm not going to do it unless you watch it.
All right.
You better watch me.
All right. Go ahead.
Watch me.
I want you to look at me.
You're a sandwich cuck, Preston. You're a sandwich cuck.
It's got really gay really fast.
Go ahead.
You dirty little bitch. Here I go. All right.
You like that, don't you?
And he took a big bite of it.
Oh, you got some in your mouth.
Yeah, you do. It's peanut butter all over the side of your mouth. So
you like it.
Tell us what you're tasting.
All right.
What do you think?
I mean, to be honest with you,
yep.
Psychologically, I want to gag, right?
Right.
I'm eating peanut butter and mayonnaise.
But right. Sexually?
Sexually, I got to go change my underpants. You know what I'm saying? You can't even taste the mayonnaise.
The mayonnaise? Really?
No, I swear to God.
The peanut butter over... Well, that's what your mom was saying, is that it created a creamier. And Kathy pointed out, they do make creamy peanut butter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's supposed to make it taste even creamier somehow or another. Yeah. All right, okay. All right. Well, he's not gagging.
No, I mean, honestly, I want to.
Would you ever eat it again?
No, that's good.
Okay.
Can you rub it on your nipples?
I'm not going to rub it on my... Well, okay.
We have another guest to the show, so no rubbing of nipples until after David leaves. So he is going to be recording a new comedy album tomorrow night, Helium Comedy Club, and you can go. Tickets are available at heliumcomedy.com. Our friend Jake Matera has absolutely said that we need to have him in here this morning.
We listen to Jake.
And we love Jake. So this is David James, everybody.
Hey.
Who's here this morning? How you doing, David?
Good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing?
Nice to see you. Doing wonderful, man.
Oh, thanks. I'm so rude. Do you want to bite of that sandwich?
Yeah, you would just...
No.
No?
I'm sorry. Disgusting. Forgive me.
No.
Well, your palate, as you sat down, you said you've never even drank coffee in your entire life. Never even had a sip of coffee?
No, I've never had coffee. I don't do mayonnaise. I don't do peanut butter. I've never had peanut butter.
You've never had peanut butter.
There's certain things I decided as a child that if I didn't like it, I would never do it for the rest of my life. I've never had a glass of milk. I've never drank coffee. I've never been to Starbucks.
Wow. So you've never, it's not a case that you tasted and decided you'd swear off it. You didn't even try it.
Pretty much.
Okay.
You're like, our Chuck, our assistant program director, had never eaten essentially fruit. So we made him try like a whole bunch of fruit one morning, and he decided some of it he really liked. Others he found it was disgusted by.
Okay, that's a little weird though. You never tried fruit. Like who's never ate fruit?
Well,
before?
We're looking at coffee. Right, you know. Melons, saying the guy grapes. Who's never had milk and peanut butter.
That's totally different though. I think something happened to him as a kid. Like he walked in on his parents and they were doing some freaky things with some fruit.
Yeah.
You know, and he was just like never again.
Never again. Scarred for life.
Yeah.
He's standing at the door staring you down, David.
So was it a consistency thing, do you think? Or like texture?
I don't know. I just looked at it and I just said no. You
okay.
know, like I've never had a milkshake. You know,
David, you're letting the best in life get by you.
Yeah, I don't know. That's my weird thing.
What kind of food are you into? What do you like?
You know, I eat normal things. I actually feel a little horrible right now because after listening to the last segment,
yeah,
I'm like going through the replay of what I ate the past couple of days. Yeah. You know, like if I went to bed with like beer and a Stromboli. You know, then I got to listen to people changing their lives.
All right, what about ice cream?
Ice cream? I do ice cream.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Ice cream, milkshakes, or melted ice cream?
Yeah. Here's the thing. I know it doesn't make any sense. You know, it's like saying, like, oh, I only eat ice cubes, but I refuse to drink water. I know it's the same thing.
It's just different. But,
yeah.
Different temperatures.
Well, that's me with seafood. I've never, I mean, there are some, like, I've tried shrimp, and no thank you.
It's just pronounced shrimps.
It's shrimps.
Come on, get it together.
But I don't eat any seafood, and I really haven't tried the majority of it, and I don't have any desire to, and I can't stand people that try to convince me to do it.
Is it the smell thing?
It's partially the smell, and I think it probably would be the texture as well. Like
she makes them into milkshakes. That's the problem.
That's why I didn't like the shrimps.
Shrimps milkshake.
I used to despise like fish, and now salmon's my
go-to.
Love salmon.
I can do salmon. Pretty much any other fish, I'm just like no.
I'm not a big fan of other fish but
unless
salmon,
it's fried. Stereotypically, but
lobster.
I can do lobster.
Okay.
Yeah, lobster I have no use for.
Crab I can. It's too much work. I don't have time for that.
There is a lot of work involved with that.
Well, no,
David,
like
so you're from Philly?
No. I live in Philly. My parents were in the military, so I grew up all over the place. So
okay.
That's why people, when I meet people, they're like, where are you from? Because I don't have an accent.
Yeah.
I've never taken a date to Wawa. I don't say John or water, you know. Yeah. So I kind of like, I'm a Philadelphian, but I'm kind of like an outsider at the same time.
Where did you spend, if you moved around, Army Brad or whatever, what branch of the military?
Army.
Okay, so where did you stay in one place for any length of time? A year or more? 2 years? Three?
I was one of those kids where it's like I had three different middle schools and two different high schools.
Wow.
Man.
Yeah.
So you were the new guy.
Yeah, pretty
all
much.
All the time.
Yeah.
That sucks when that happens. I had two elementary schools. I had three junior high schools. And then I had one. Always being the new kid is sort of sucks.
Were your parents in the military?
They were just slobs. No, we happened to live in a point on the map where they kept redistricting things. And then we moved to California. Actually, so that as another school for about 8 months, 9 months. But yeah, everyone's always, I don't care, you know, what the situation is. You're always the new kid, and it's always, it sucks. But when you're with other military, I assume you're with living in military.
Yeah, there's other military kids, so but it's also like all those schools were in different states, too.
Yeah.
Was it ever overseas?
No, overseas I was too young to remember.
Okay.
Like my dad was in Germany and Korea, but I was too little. Yeah.
Okay. Now, with that, with moving around a lot, were you able to form like a quote unquote best friend or anything like that along the way?
You made some friends, but like, you know, it's kind of like they're like best friend rentals. You know?
Yeah, right.
Like you're
yeah.
like leasing. You're basically leasing best friends. Yeah. You know, there's a term period. You know, it's going to be over at a certain amount of time. I turn them back in.
Where are your parents from?
my mother's from Kentucky, and my dad's from D.C. Okay.
What part of Kentucky?
She's like Elizabethtown.
Okay. All right. Yeah. My family's from Lexington. So.
Okay. Yeah.
And then you found Philadelphia. How long ago? How long have you been here?
I've been here since 2003.
All right. Good stretch of time.
Yeah.
It's home now.
Pretty much. It's as long as I've been in one spot.
Right.
Pretty much. Yeah. Yeah.
Your car broke down. That's the only
reason. Pretty much. I got stranded here pretty much. Yeah.
And now it's your home.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool. So you're doing the stand-up thing. You see, in your history, you've worked with Greg Giraldo, who we had on the show, obviously. You know,
yeah.
One of the legends, Bill Burr. You're doing your chops, and you put together material for an album, which you're recording tonight.
It's going to be Wednesday night.
Wednesday night.
February 5th.
So you should do two nights, right?
It's just one night.
Wednesday just one night. Night. Yeah. Okay. And is that just standard operating procedure, or do you Are you going to do the show twice, or you know, how do you get the maximum?
It's pretty much just going to be one show on Wednesday.
Okay.
If for some reason it went crazy and it sold out, and they maybe do another one, but it's not going to happen. But just one show on Wednesday. You know, been preparing for it, so everything's ready to go.
Awesome.
So I haven't had a chance to see your routine, your show. What do you like to pull from? What's a good mine of comedy for you?
My style is kind of ranting.
Okay.
You know, so if it's something that I guess I'm angry about, or something that frustrates me, I pretty much go on stage and I rant about it.
You operate from misery a lot of times, and you've done this series where you're commenting on Philly traffic.
Yeah,
correct.
Yeah.
So explain what that is to people who aren't familiar with it.
It was a little series I did. It's called How to Drive in Philly. So basically, it was like a dash cam. And so anytime I picked something up that was crazy, you know, I would basically pull it and then, like, make a little series out of it.
Right.
Yeah.
And so what kind of dash cam did you use, by the way? Because we had a big dash cam discussion, mm-hmm. and we were trying to pick the best one.
I was one from Amazon called Auckie, A-U-C-K, I think, E-Y. Yeah. Yeah. And it was just like a little dash cam that I bought, and it worked fine, you know, and it picks up pretty much everything well. So I kind of like, you know, I got it because I'd been in so many car accidents.
Yeah, that's what everyone was saying, that's why they got them.
Yeah.
And so what was the weirdest thing you caught on the dash cam?
Jeez. Probably just people just like going straight towards you, you know, like on going down the wrong way, one-way street, and me having to like pull over, or, you know, some guy stumbling across the street for about 5 minutes and just doing Frogger in traffic, you know.
I have a real problem with pedestrians, and I know that, you know, I watched your, I watched a bunch of these yesterday, and the idea of, like, pedestrians not having any accountability is for me, the most frustrating.
Well, people walk around like cars don't hurt.
Right.
You know? It's like those kids, you know, going down the wrong way on Broad Street, popping wheelies like cars don't hurt, you know? It should be legal to hit some of these people.
I agree. It pisses me off because it's something that's sort of to this area where people are sort of pissed off that you're in a car. And they start to walk across. When I'm walking across at an intersection, I speed up. It's because I want to clear it so that they can make their turn.
Yeah.
We're going to work together on this. You're going to allow me to go through. I have the pedestrian. I have the right of way. I'm the pedestrian. And then, we're going to try to get as many people through this turn as possible.
Yeah.
I've seen people just shuffle and they don't give a rat's ass. I'm like, you mother.
Yeah. They'll just walk in and then, like, sometimes they'll stop and, like, mean mug you. Like they punched a car before and it exploded. You know? It's if I floored this, you're gone.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you're really going to mean mug the car.
Yeah.
So, David, you obviously spent a lot of time driving in and around Philadelphia. Was there a particular area that was worse than others? Are you Center City for pedestrians bad, and then you get to Northeast and the drivers are idiots?
South Philadelphia by far.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because people don't stop at stop signs. I've been hit, I think, 4 times in South Philadelphia.
Well, it's also like a bizarre maze. It's streets, you know, are half streets and cut into other streets.
Well, they have their own term. You've heard of it, right?
Yeah.
The South Philly roll.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's like
it's true.
Yeah. They don't have time to stop.
No.
It's crazy. I know exactly what you're talking about. And people park all the way up to the corners, and you can't sometimes see
around
that
if you're
car
going out. Yeah.
I hate that.
Yeah.
See, Preston has a fear of driving the speed limit, accidentally hitting somebody and killing them, and then getting...
And then the neighborhood comes out and kills me. Because somebody ran out between two parked cars and I accidentally kill them, and it wasn't my fault at all, and then everybody starts to rip me out of my car and beat me.
It's not irrational. Like, I know.
You killed Hoagie Joe. And everybody walks out. Joe was a good man. All he did was just sit on the porch all day and yell at the colored children. He was a good man.
Hoagie Joe.
Why'd you kill Hoagie Joe?
It's like when they had those little mini motorcycles. What do they call those? Crotch rockers?
Crotch rockers. Yeah. Like miniature, tiny motorcycles.
And you couldn't even see the person over a car. So they're literally in between cars. And they were careening off vehicles at intersections all the time and getting killed.
Yeah. My fantasy is just like driving next to one of them, just opening up my door and just knocking them over.
Yeah.
And they just hit a pole. I'm like, yes.
Going John Wick on them.
Yeah. Get a real motorcycle. Grow up. Be a man.
What part of Philly do you live in?
I live in South Philadelphia.
Okay, so you do.
Yeah, I'm trying to get out of there for safety.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I don't blame you. Do you have to park a mile away from your house, or do you have parking?
Where I'm at, it's more of the suburbs. It's just a little bit, it's like more south, you know? Like, once you get to, like, Oregon area, it gets a little bit more suburbs, so it's easy to find parking. so that's why I'm over there.
Oh, dude, people have to deal with going home from work and then another half hour to find a parking spot. I'd rather eat a bullet than deal with that.
I know people that have cars, and it's like the neighborhood has the car hostage. You know, like, they're just like, why don't you just drive over? They'll just take an Uber. It's like, you have a car. It's like, I don't want to leave my space. Like, you haven't used that car in 6 months because you don't want to lose your space. Just get rid of the car.
Yeah. Just take the freaking Uber.
Yeah, no one uses the cars because they don't want to use the space.
Yeah. It's true. It's true.
Since we're just meeting, you single, married, whatever, kids, family?
A single guy.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What's that like?
Yeah. It's fun.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I get to sleep and, like, you know, do whatever I want. Like, you know, there's no one, like, next to me bothering me.
Yeah.
You know, it's fantastic.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we're both married, you know, and Casey is as well, and Kathy is as well.
All right, see what this is turning into. This is a mutiny here. All right, I guess this is an intervention.
It's an intervention.
Nick is our counselor. He's going to
alone, non-married.
But we sleep in separate bedrooms for our wives.
That's why it works.
There you go, right?
Yeah, if you have your – if I ever got married, I had to have my own bedroom.
She sleeps with her lover.
Yeah.
And you sleep with her.
Do you ever use the comedy clubs as a place to meet women? Because it would seem to me like an easy place to do it, but also possibly a toxic place to do it.
It's weird. I would say as far as any extracurricular activities or one-night stands or whatever, it's always in other cities, but not Philly this much.
Okay.
But people are weird after shows in general because, like, there's you on stage and there's you off stage. And sometimes they just don't know what to say to you.
Right.
You know? And half the times it's just something stupid, and then I just wanted to go away. You know, it's like, I can do comedy, too. You know, I was funny in spin class this morning. We were spinning, and then the instructor's like, let's go. And I was like, let it go, Frozen. And everybody's like, ha-ha, I can be funny. I'm like, shut up. You can't. You'll never, ever be funny. I hope the wheel pops off of your spin class and your head hits the person in front of you and you get a Mark Sanchez butt fumble until they get a concussion from it.
But you didn't see
you're not
her.
Funny. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you ever get people come up? Because when I did stand-up years ago, people come up and say, hey, I have some jokes for your act.
Oh, people get suggestions all the time.
All the time.
And then they're like, hey, you can use that. You know? Like they got to give me some permission to use some crappy stuff I'm never going to use in the first place.
I remember some dude one years and years ago, and this is the one that stood out to me. He was drunk as hell. He goes, like, Columbus. What the hell, right? That is, I'm used. Can I use that?
I will say this. The worst people are old, drunk white people. They're the worst because they're a little too comfortable, and they'll say, like, I've had people come up and tell me their favorite N-word jokes.
Oh no.
Listen, Steve has a great story. One time he was at this deli, and a guy's like, hey, the guy working there is like, you're a comedian, right? And then out loud, in front of a full place, gives this blatantly racist joke.
Straight up.
And
doesn't even look around.
And all the people in there are thinking, oh, these two guys are racist buddies right
this,
here.
This must be what these racists do. They share their racist jokes.
Yeah. And did you look like you do now at that point?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So I look like a white supremacist. Yeah,
yeah, pretty much.
So I'm like, I just want bagels. But yet now I'm complicit in this guy's deal. Yeah, yeah.
But people say that to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird. Yeah, I think the weirdest thing someone ever said to me was a guy starts talking about doing coke, right? And he's like, oh, I remember the first time I did coke. It's like the next day is the worst day of your life. You feel like you want to go to one of those black guys in a tree and borrow his rope to hang yourself.
Oh, my God.
I was like, what? I was like, first of all, borrow the rope? Is this, you know? Like, excuse me, are you done with that? Thanks. Yeah. Can I use it? I'm pretty sure it's not his rope also.
Yeah, you know? Right.
Pretty sure it's not his rope.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he just felt so comfortable.
Oh,
and I think I have a theory, though. It's because there's a black guy scale with how people feel comfortable what they say to black people, right? So the scale is like a 1 is like Carlton.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, and 10 is like a DMX.
All right.
Right. So the closer you are to the Carlton, the more comfortable people feel. Yeah.
So he'll be cool with this when I tell him.
Yeah, because I'm a 5.
Yeah.
You're a 5?
Yeah.
He's up for
Carlton
a lynching
DMX
joke.
Scale, I'm a 5. Yeah.
You're like Theo.
Malcolm Jamal Warren.
I'm a little bit more raw than Theo. Yeah, okay. I think I can. Raw. Yeah. 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 I wouldn't let my dad, you know, talk me out of giving an earring. You know what I mean? Yeah. Especially when he's being a creep in the basement. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, my God. My friend has a saying, and it's just effing people, man. Effing people.
Yeah.
You're just some people.
Yeah.
You just can't figure it out. Well, listen, the show is tomorrow night. Tickets are available at heliumcomedy.com. And David's going to be filming his special, so make sure you come by and see him. And any other gigs come up in the near future? Or?
That's the one I'm focused on right now. If people are curious about my stand-up, they can go on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, look up some clips. I just put up an old throwback heckler video, which cannot be repeated on this station. But, so people can check that out, see what my comedy's like, and then show up tomorrow night.
All right. It's David James. Make sure you check him out. Thanks for being here, David.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me. Thank you, everybody. Yeah.
HeliumComedy.com. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. B-Files coming up. Stay with us.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Weezer. Dirty Honey.
New music, more of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Marissa so kindly reminded me that we have to ask a question about the Dr. Oz show from
yesterday. Oh, my God.
And give away a $500 Amex gift card. Basically, $500 for you. And I will tell you, you know how we do the lesson question on the show? And we ask a question. It's kind of hard. You had to have been listening very, very closely to get the answer to. These are incredibly easy. So watching Dr. Oz, you don't have to sit and take notes or anything like that. If you see the show, you'll know the answer. So here's the question. And we'll take caller number 10. We'll start with caller 10. On yesterday's Dr. Oz show, he spoke to Dog the Bounty Hunter about the rumors that he's dating a longtime family friend, Moon Angel. What unexpected question did Dog ask Moon during their interview?
That's crazy.
I'm not even going to give you the multiple choice.
Oh, you're not? No, you don't need to. We talked about it on the show here.
We did. 215-263-WMMR. Oh, here, Casey has the questions here. Did he say, do you want a peanut butter and mayo sandwich? Do you poop your pants? Or will you marry me? 215-263-WMMR. That's what Casey says.
I wonder.
But anyhow, call right now. Let's even know the answer. We're going to do the bizarre file while you're calling in.
Now, WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, so as Russ Wright drove home Wednesday, he spotted two deer in a field south of Calgary, but something wasn't quite right. He said, I stopped, and I realized these deer had locked antlers. And he said, that's crazy because you just don't see that. They were locked tight.
Antlers!
At first.
Like padlocks or just like chains?
Neither. They were intertwined.
Oh, just intertwined. Okay, I got you. Okay.
So at first, Wright said that he thought one of the deer was dead, and he called Fish and Wildlife. Scott Calloweet of Fish and Wildlife answered the call. He said it was pretty dynamic in terms of them moving around and bouncing around. I knew they had a lot of energy. It was a good possibility that they were probably not going to get separated by themselves. Calloweet said tranquilizing the animals crossed his mind. But he said it could have been a deadly outcome. You run the risk of having one immobilized deer while the other one is still full of life. Being the only officer on the scene, that was a limiting option. So he grabbed his 12-gauge shotgun, which was loaded with slugs. His first and only shot hit the antlers of one of the deer, which separated them.
No way.
So, yeah, rantlers. He made a beautiful shot.
Rantlers.
Freed the deer, and they lived to see another day. So he actually shot the rantlers off of them.
Rantlers, no way.
Calloweet said that it was the best possible outcome. He said deer naturally regrow these rantlers. Starting again in the spring.
Holy no way!
So it's something that they go through every year, but he actually decided to shoot them off.
That's amazing!
And it worked, yeah.
I thought you were going to say he killed them both with his shotgun.
One shot, that would be amazing.
Wouldn't that have been great?
I killed them both!
Yeah. A Wisconsin man who once called 911 for help in dealing with a snoring woman in his bed has been arrested for dialing police dispatchers and asking if they wanted to fool around or spend some quality time together. Cops say Benjamin Duddles last week called the non-emergency line at the Waukesha Police Department four times over a 37-minute period.
Yeah, it's Ben Duddles again.
And made some odd requests of police personnel. In one conversation with a female dispatcher, Duddles said, It would be super cool if we could spend some quality time together.
Oh, my God.
The operator replied, I don't know you, so I don't want to spend quality time with you. While speaking with a male dispatcher during a second call, Duddles asked, well, do you want to, you know, fool around? The operator said, no, I don't want to fool around.
I got a jar of peanut butter and a jar of mayonnaise.
Officers sent to Duddles' residence discovered him, not surprisingly, in an intoxicated state. They also found a glass smoking pipe and THC in the apartment.
There you go.
Duddles has been charged with a pair of misdemeanor drug counts and unlawful phone use. He was also hit with a bail jumping charge, violating the terms of his release in a pending criminal case in which he faces disorderly conduct and criminal trespass counts.
Of all the numbers to call, why, you know, why to end up at that number?
But in November, he had called the non-emergency line to tell dispatchers that he loves them. And he also asked for the, this is a quote, the number for YouTube so he could watch Grateful Dead videos.
Wow.
What's the number for YouTube?
A cop sent to Duddles' home warned him not to contact the police department unless he had a legitimate need for assistance. At that point, Duddles reportedly admitted that he, quote, loved talking to dispatchers and officers. But he called 911 in November 2013 to report that he wanted a female removed from his bed. The woman, he added, was now, quote, snoring like a train and he wants her out. Duddles told the cops the pair had drank together, had relations, and she fell asleep. When Duddles could not rouse the snoozing woman who suffered from sleep apnea, he called 911. Police did not arrest Duddles, but they explained to him that a snoring woman in his bed was not a law enforcement matter.
I bet you he's super hot, right?
Yeah, probably. A British tourist has undergone medical treatment after he ripped his penis during a ferocious sex session with a Thai prostitute.
Oh, my God.
The unnamed man in his 30s called emergency services
my balls.
While yelling incoherently down the phone on Saturday night. Paramedics rushed into the hotel in the notorious red light district of Pattaya amid fears that there had been a murder or an attack.
Oh, no, it's just my balls.
When they arrived, the man was wearing shorts and there was a Thai prostitute in the room with him. The white bed sheets were covered in a large amount of fresh blood.
God!
The panic-stricken man explained to the team that he was having sex so hard that his frenulum, which is a small piece of skin that connects the foreskin to the penis, had ripped. Rescue volunteers gave him first aid at the scene after he refused to go to the hospital because he was so embarrassed by the injury. One of the volunteers who attended the scene said they first thought that they had arrived at a crime scene because the man was screaming so loudly and there was a large pool of blood. She's tired. It was a big relief when they realized what had actually happened. He explained that it was because he was having sex too hard with his escort for the evening. He was in a lot of pain, and this is the person on the scene said he was in a lot of pain, but we thought it was very funny.
Well, that's the kind of responder you want.
Exactly. And there you go.
I was having sex so hard.
That's what I have in the bizarre file. All right, we need to see if we can find an answer to this question. And where did it go? They took it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dog the Bounty Hunter. What did he ask?
Yeah. Hi, Jeremy.
Hi.
Hey, on Dr. Oz yesterday, what did Dog the Bounty Hunter ask of his girlfriend?
Will you marry me?
Well, yes. That's correct. Jeremy, hang on the line because we're going to give you a $500 Amex gift card. You are good to go, my man. You can get a daily dose of the Dr. Oz Show each day, and Dr. Oz offers health tips, true crime stories, food investigations, and celebrity interviews. Watch the Dr. Oz Show weekdays at 2 on Fox 29. Tomorrow we'll have a question about today's show, so don't miss it. Your chance to win another $500. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back in a moment. We'll have a lesson question and another prize for you to win when we get back and more. Stay with us.
Get social with Preston and Steve and WMMR. Facebook, Twitter, you know, the usual places.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style.
whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
So I'm going to ask a stupid, or not a stupid question, a lesson question. We're going to see if you can get this right and get a prize. Today we're going to give away Stephen Singer's popular filet-dipped rigged classic gold rose.
That's rose gold.
And the question we will ask this morning is, what did Kim and Kanye fill their pool with? 215-263-WMMR, not water.
No.
But it was filled with something else. What did Kim and Kanye fill their pool with? We did that in the entertainment news break, which was in the 6 o'clock hour, so way back when. Love awarding people who have spent the morning with us with a prize. So call now, 215-263-WMMR. And we're going to do the trash while you're calling in.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Brought to you by Patient First. Cold and flu season is here. Patient First is here to help. Urgent care that's open 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. every day of the year. 20 Eastern Pennsylvania and South Jersey area medical centers. What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, Jeff Bezos adding $13.2 billion to his fortune last week in just under 15 minutes after a stock surge. To put that in perspective, Bezos accrued more wealth than all the wealth all the generations of your family combined ever earned in the space of one fart. After testifying against the Bloods to get an early release from prison, rapper Tekashi 69 says he plans on quickly leaving New York. Tekashi says he wants to finally see America the only way you can really see it, by looking over your shoulder as you run screaming in terror.
Oh my God.
And finally, Jessica Simpson telling the Today Show that she was addicted to John Mayer. Simpson reveals she broke up with him and then got back together with him 9 times. Once for every inch.
Oh.
And that's your Hollywood Trash.
All righty. We shall see if we can get an answer to this question. What did Kim and Kanye fill their pool with? 215-263-WMMR is number. And I will go to Craig for the answer. Hey, Craig, how you doing? Craig, what did Kim and Kanye fill their pool with?
White paint.
White paint.
Yeah!
Hang on, Craig. Got it right. We're going to give you Stephen Singer's popular, fully dipped classic gold rose. You can get his brand new rose gold rose for, yeah, Valentine's Day. That's right. A rose gold gold rose starting at just $69. Only at IHateStevenSinger.com. So congratulations to you, my friend.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah!
Long, what? All right, we are going to end the music news with a concert announcement.
Oh, cool.
We're going to do that.
What's going on this
all
week?
All week long. Whatever. I don't know.
Right. Same as me.
Yesterday and today. I don't just I can't. Words are not coming out properly.
I think Bill Weston would actually give us higher letter grades for the shows than we would give them ourselves.
I think so. All right, did I get our sponsor? No.
Nope.
Patient First. Cold and flu season is here. Patient First is here to help. Urgent care that's open 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. every day of the year. 20 Eastern Pennsylvania and South Jersey area medical centers.
What was the, it wasn't cold yesterday. What was it?
Claude.
Oh, Claude. Claude. And the second time I did like called or something along those lines. So we talked about a little bit about this yesterday, but Pearl Jam's song called River Cross was featured in Verizon's Super Bowl commercial. The track, which will appear on the band's upcoming Gigaton album, soundtracked a 60-second spot called The Amazing Things 5G Won't Do, which also featured a voiceover from Harrison Ford. Why did you play that?
Gigaton.
Oh, Gigaton. Yeah. Yeah. But Harrison Ford did the voiceover, and the spot marked the first time that Harrison has ever done a commercial voiceover.
But it's not the first time he's played with Pearl Jam, correct?
No, that's he goes back to Yield. Verizon's
Yield's birthday yesterday.
Was it?
Happy birthday.
That's why we're talking about Harrison Ford.
Exactly.
While Verizon Chief Marketing Officer Diego Scotti told Variety that Eddie Vedder played an important role in Verizon securing the rights to the use of that song. Gigaton is due out on March 27th. and will be Pearl Jam's 11th studio effort.
It's funny to hear. I've been a Pearl Jam fan my whole life, but like to hear them on a Verizon commercial. You know, this is a band that fought Ticketmaster and hated every corporate sponsor that there was, and you know, more power to them. It's a nice ad.
Oh, but the Jeremy is being used in the new Bathfitters commercial.
Is it really?
I didn't hear
Lady,
it.
I remember cleaning up the bowls.
Slipped in tub today.
Seemed a harmless little shower.
They changed the lyrics.
But there was so much mildew.
They changed the lyrics, too. That's
really bad.
That's really bad.
They're selling out.
Yeah. Does the song sound good?
Sure. It's unfamiliar to me because it's brand new, so I didn't dislike it. I thought it was a good ad.
Following some viral teasing on social media last week, Korn, System of a Down, and Faith No More have revealed that they will play a massive show together at Bank of California Stadium in Los Angeles on May 22nd. Helmet and Russian Circle will also appear on the bill.
Russian Circle just recorded a commercial for the General, the insurance company.
Oh, really? Get General, save some time. tickets go on sale this Friday. All three bands began teasing the show on their social media accounts over the weekend, posting the same image of an astronaut floating in space with the caption that said Monday on it. Okay, so this could be good. The long-rumored Kiss biopic is going ahead with a summer 2021 release date tentatively penciled in.
All right, with actors or a documentary?
It's a biopic. I'm assuming it's actors.
Yes, I hope so.
The band's manager, Doc McGee, spoke about the movie, which he had previously described as focusing on the band's formation early years and ascent to fame. I wonder who Gene would want to play himself in the movie.
Frank Perdue. But he's sadly passed.
Oh, yeah.
The Chicken Empire.
The Chicken Empresario.
You've been thinking about this long and hard.
I have been thinking for a long time. I think if there's someone who catches the essence of me, of course, I believe the essence of myself courses through the veins of every chicken. The sense of freedom of a free-range chicken. That's Gene Simmons.
The spirit of you courses through the veins of every chicken.
Yes.
Okay.
It's a given. This could be good, though. You're right. We both love The Dirt.
Yes.
And Kiss certainly has their fair share of stories.
Yeah, well, theirs wasn't...
Not debaucherous. Well, not debaucherous, but not
as drug-fueled.
Yes, exactly.
But debaucherous in sex and drinking. They definitely partied.
Have I claimed, 10,000 women?
It's some ridiculous amount. But I mean...
15,000 chickens?
Which...
Not betting them, raising them.
Oh.
Nurturing them.
Okay. Would they have to get an actor that has an extremely long tongue to play Gene, or do you think they would CGI something like that?
CGI, probably.
Probably, because...
That would be part of the audition.
Because you'd have to, not only look like him, have a big tongue, but also be able to act as well to pull that off. So, I don't know.
It's a tough nut.
So, he said, this is according to Doc McGee, the band's manager. He said, I can tell you... that the film is being made with Mark Canton. So he's great producer and a really good guy. Hopefully in the next week, we'll have a company behind it and we'll start finishing the script. And hopefully by the time we end, we'll have a movie finished for July of next year.
So I think you go with newbies. That's the best way to do this.
Yep.
Because that works the best.
Yep. As it stands, Kiss have already unveiled the date for their final show, being July 17, 2021.
What would the guy playing Paul Stanley, he'd have to have, you know, they should look approximately like them, but they don't have to be.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So it wouldn't be surprising if the new biopic is released in conjunction with the final Kiss gigs. So they're maybe going to shoot for that. Once again, the Rolling Stones have taken to posting song lyrics along with the band's signature tongue and lips logo on billboards in advance of announcing their tour dates. The lyrics alternate depending on the city, but all feature such classic lines as "It's just a kiss away from Give Me Shelter" and "Let's spend the night together."
This one's for my new festival commercial.
Cities that have spotted billboards include Minneapolis, Tampa, and Austin.
Those look cool, Preston. So we're looking at one of the billboards now.
Yeah.
It says Just a Kiss Away.
And it's the classic logo.
Yeah.
On a black background. A brief video, video was posted on the band's social media with an outdoor scene featuring the band's logo projected into the open sky, like, you know, like the bat signal.
Like the bat signal.
Exactly. Gene.
Or the chicken signal.
The chicken.
Which summons the band Kiss to your town.
Yeah.
I didn't see them on the last tour, Steve. You went, right? It was at the Link.
Stones. Last summer, Stones.
I regret not going last summer, but maybe now I have a chance to go this summer if they tour.
It's quite possible. I have to say, I was glad I saw them, but it made me think, boy, I probably should have seen them 15 years ago.
Sure,
not because it was machine like.
Yeah,
you were seeing the legendary band. And it was very good, but there was something missing, and it was I don't want to say by rote, but it was okay.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
You know, and here's the reference of the local sports team, and here's right. You know, and I got it, but I wish I had I would have loved to have seen a more sloppier version of them on stage.
I've seen them a bunch, and I've always had fun. One of the best concerts I've ever been to was with Marissa 6 or 7 years ago, and we saw them at the Wells Fargo Center. It was great. But my girlfriend has never seen them, and I want her to see them before they stop touring.
Yes, that was my reason for doing it.
Nice. And speaking of shows, I have a concert. This show, which I'm about to announce, will be taking place on Sunday, August 23rd. The show will take place at BB&T Pavilion, and the tickets will go on sale this Friday for that show. MMR is happy to rock back into town two bands.
Two?
Incubus and 311.
Oh. I love Incubus.
Yeah, they're a great band. And 311 is on the bill, too.
Absolutely.
Sunday, August 23rd, BB&T Pavilion. Also on the show bill is Bad Flower. They'll be playing, too. Tickets on sale, like I said, this Friday at 10 a.m. And there will be a pre-sale that takes place. And that is Thursday. There's the password, and you can get that and the complete details at WMMR.com, including an online contest for another chance to win tickets this week. Online entry deadline is Friday at 9 a.m. I'm going to give away a pair of tickets right now. Hey! Caller 15, you get them. 215-263-WMMR. Once again, that's Incubus and 311, Sunday, August 23rd at BB&T Pavilion. Bad Flowers performing as well. Tickets go on sale this Friday at 10 a.m.
It's a great summer, Bill.
Pre-sale as well on Thursday, but the password and complete details are available at WMMR.com. So, like I said, caller number, I forgot what number I said. Is it 10? Oh, 15. Thank you, Ed. Caller number 15 at 215-263-WMMR. Let's take a break. Come back in a second, and we'll get ready to wrap some stuff up, and we will get the letter of the day for the Word of the Week prize. Tell you about that stuff, too. We'll
be
back.
Stay right where you are.
That's right. Thank you.
The Preston and Steve Show Podcast. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks. Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
I'm scared.
They both fired off at the same time. So, let me see. What am I doing here? Oh, 10:32. We just played Gold on the Ceiling from Black Keys. I'm about ready to wrap up our radio program for the morning, a Tuesday. And I would like to thank the following people for being on our program today. We have Mr. Bob Harper from The Biggest Loser, season 18. It's on USA tonight at 9 o'clock.
Found out there's a contestant local.
Yeah, Coach.
Coach.
Is what he goes by. And he apparently listens to us all the time, which is cool. So hopefully he's doing well on the show. Doing great.
Hopefully he dominates and wins.
Thank you to comedian David James. First time I met him. He stopped by this morning recording a new comedy album, Helium Comedy Club, tomorrow night, 8 o'clock. You can go to heliumcomedy.com to get tickets, information, all that stuff. Oh, and I need to congratulate our winner for Dead Tuesday.
Yay!
So we did get a winner. We had you text in all morning long. We're going to give a $350 gift certificate, world-famous Philadelphia Eddie's tattoo, to Andrew Georgiani. Hey! Andrew is from Burlington, New Jersey. And he's going to possibly get tattooed by some of the area's top tattoo artists like Emil DZ. And you can see his work on Instagram at emil.dz.tattoo or philadelphia80stattoo.com. And they are located at 621 South 4th Street in South Philadelphia. So congratulations, Andrew. Take care of you. And you get a Preston and Steve themed tattoo. Pretty sweet deal. Let me see. I guess we need to do the letter of the day, so let's get to it now.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
And that means that the Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter
O.
Oh, baby.
As in, open that door, baby.
All right, and we have a pair of three-day tickets to see Phish.
Yeah.
August 14th, 15th, 16th on the Atlantic City Beach, plus hotel stay for three nights at Borgata Hotel, Casino, and Spa. Tickets for all three Phish shows on the AC Beach go on sale this Friday, by the way, at noon via Ticketmaster.com. Pierre, you've probably seen more concerts than anybody I know. Have you ever been to a Phish show before?
Many times.
Many times. Okay.
Yeah. I used to host them at the 23 East, which is now the Ardmore Music Hall.
Oh, that's right.
There's audio of you when their van broke down. Yeah.
They needed a ride.
Yeah. At the end of the set, I'm on stage going, hey, if anyone's going back to Vermont, a couple of the guys need a ride. You know, and now, of course, they could buy an entire railroad to take them up there.
Right.
They've done extraordinarily well financially. I mean, you don't think of a band like that doing that well, but they could build castles in every state.
Yeah, there was a figure that they had, because they do like a Madison Square Gardens run at New Year's every year, and they broke the $50 million mark this past year.
Wow.
As a band.
That's good, man.
Yeah.
No, I mean, they're amazing, you know, and they've done it, you know, true American success story their way with their music. So there you go.
Are you going to all the shows, Case?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. Every show around the country?
Yeah. No.
Here, the how are you going to do the, I mean, can you do call-ins and stuff and take Preston, press that button, and you've got this giveaway?
I should probably do something like that.
Okay.
But, Steve, there all those AC shows are on the weekend, Friday, Saturday,
it's
Sunday.
So, it's been an embarrassment of riches for you and Phish over the past 2 years.
It really has.
Yeah, yes. It's been a lot of shows.
You had the show at the Met. You had the run at the BB&T.
Yep. And Madison Square Garden.
The Met show was kind of a secret show. I mean, in that it wasn't technically announced, right?
No. So. I mean, no, it was announced, but you couldn't buy tickets. You had to win them.
It was announced.
You know, a little over a year ago, I saw, and I've seen Phish many, many times, and I saw what I think is the best set of Phish I had ever seen in my entire life.
Well, that's a wonderful thing when you are in love with the band all your life, and then can't get any better, and then it gets better.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, your experience with the Stones is interesting because I've been seeing them since 1975, and to me, they are better now than they were in 1975. Different, but better. There's a beauty in the, like a fine wine that is getting older. It's older, but there's something there. The fact that those four guys are still alive and carrying on with a passion that, you know, and when you see Mick Jagger running down a runway on a football-sized field and realize that the man is 75 years old and is not being slow and not lip-syncing and dancing and playing harmonica, I mean, that's pretty intense.
No,
that's,
it was impressive. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, we got the letter of the day. We're good to go there. What's coming up on your show today?
Well, we'll have, as you just had, well, you just announced this show, which is cool, Incubus and 311 and Bad Flower in August over in Camden. I will have a pair of tickets for that. Also, lift tickets for the Cardboard Classic. We are now about a month out.
Wow. Oh, my God.
Believe it or not.
Yeah.
Today's February 4th, so March 6th. So, essentially, we're 1 month out from the Cardboard Classic. And then, have you planned a Keenan's broadcast already?
Yeah, that's already set up.
By the way, we got to talk about Camp Out for Hunger. And then let's talk about next year's Camp Out for Hunger.
Tomorrow,
we have a meeting. 2022.
We have a meeting tomorrow.
Are you kidding?
For Camp Out?
I kid you not.
No kidding at all.
We've already started coming up with ideas for Keenan's. I mean, you have to.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Yes, sir.
I mean, those dumb ideas don't just come up with them.
You can't just be an idiot. Anyway, you can't be an idiot and come up with those incredibly dumb ideas.
We'll have lift tickets for the Cardboard Classic. And we'll also have a workforce block of Alice Cooper, whose birthday it is today, and the offspring Noodle's birthday is today, and Greta Van Fleet. So all it's right. going to be a fun day, plus Double Shot Tuesday.
I love it. All right, I got to thank our sponsors. Preston and Steve Show brought to you today by Villanova's College of Professional Studies. Pursue the next you. Also brought to you by the Aviation Institute of Maintenance. Call today and start training tomorrow. Call them at 888-FIX-JETS. Tomorrow should be a good show, by the way. Live on Fox Good Day. We do that on Wednesdays. Flyers goalie Brian Elliott just scored his 40th, or I mean had his 40th shutout.
Yeah, man.
In his history in the NHL, so we'll talk to him.
Awesome.
And we'll see if we can get him on, but I think we're tentatively set for Mr. Rob McElhenney to be on the program.
He's got
tomorrow.
His new Apple Plus series debuting.
That's correct. All right, that's it. We're done. Rage on. Have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow, gang. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
All right, sweetheart. All men were not created equal. Some of us are great, and some are a dime a dozen bullshit artists. You made your f-ing choice. Live with it.
Next message.
A wizard is never late, Preston Elliott. Nor is he early. He arrives precisely when he means to. Come along, Steve Morrison. I'm down the professor.
Next message.
Whoever was the asshole who hit my car while I was parked. You! I hope your turns black and falls into the crapper!
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.